Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I enjoyed it, baby. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Yeah. It's another day in paradise, everybody. It's 420. You know what that means. You know what that means. My smoker friends know what that means. It's time to hit the old joint. You know what I mean. That's it. Roll them up tight. Put it in your mouth and magic mushrooms and rainbows. Yes. Happy 420 day, everybody. It's legalized here, and if it's not legalized in your state, you're behind.
Yep.
Oof. I'm not really smoking, but I'm imitating things when I do. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. We are worldwide. We are global. Our ratings are up. Our ratings are as high as a 420 day. And a lot of hippies running around. I miss the hippies. You know, if your grandparents are hippies, man, they were the best people in the world. I really miss the hippies. Hippies were good. Hippies was yippies. Yippie for the hippies. If you'd like to come into the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get you worldwide. If you're a business person, come on and promote your little stuff like a business card. It's a good way to do it. Marketing, promotion, and 420, bitches. Headline. Biden signs an executive order legalizing incest across the country. Happy 420 day. Smoke them if you got them. The social media post claim. Oh, I forgot to market this to Laverne. Damn it. I'll do this during the break. Forgot to do it. Hello, Laverne. Hopefully you're listening. I forgot to text you. A social media. And Melissa, please, if you're listening, sweetheart, could you text Laverne? Let her know I'm on the air. Thank you so much, sweetheart. Melissa's my famous Melissa, one of our morning crew. I can always count on Melissa. Happy 420 days. Smoke them if you got them. A social media post claimed Joe Biden had legalized incest across all 40 states by signing an executive order. Let's look deeper. Today's a relationship show. You know, And then I want to talk about something else. Two things also I want to talk about. After this, I want to talk about the law of consent. That's really important that I really want to talk about. Somebody brought that up to me last night. I want to talk about that too. You know, I remember the summer of blah, blah. Yes. Your hero, Brian, 11 or 12 years old. It was a summer day. I remember it well. Birds were singing, and they sung my favorite song. The sun was shining. We went back east. We're in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm from California. We drove to Baltimore, Maryland. There I met my cousins for the first time. Now, I'm blessed with having a really good-looking family. Really good-looking family. Good-looking family. Woohoo. Maybe it was 11. 11 in heaven. 420. Smoke them if you got them, baby. Like a Slim Jim, bitches. Okay, back to the story. So this cousin of mine, I will keep her name private. Let's just call her Yum Yum. It's a nice name for a cousin. First cousin, by the way. Her mother's my aunt. Beautiful lady. She should be on a cover of Hustler magazine. Really beautiful lady. Give her the respect. Yeah, look at that. I would look. Continue with the story. Oh, man, that was a good one. Oh, I'm so high, I'm like a balloon. Back to the story. Smoke 'em, baby. Smoke 'em. Anyway, she sees me, I see her. She comes down, and she's beautiful. Oh, my God. I'm 11. She's maybe 13. Yum. Oh, yum, yum. Yes. She's so beautiful. Her feet doesn't touch the floor. It's just she glides through, you know. She just glides through life. She doesn't even have to walk. That's how beautiful this woman was. Yes. So Yum Yum comes to me. She goes, hi, I'm your cousin. I go, I know. I know you are. Yum Yum. That's right. It's a love story. It's a love story. So, after a while, we sit there, everybody was playing and everything, and she had a book. And it was a dirty, filthy, filthy book that had dirty, filthy, filthy words in it. Words like damn and hell and oh my. It's 420, sons of bitches. Smoke them if you got them. Back to the story. Back to the story. They had bad words in it. Very bad words. And there was a story to the words. And there were women, and there were men, and they did very bad things. Because you're a kid, you're going, ooh, I should not listen to this, but ooh, tell me more. Tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Like, does she have a good book? Tell me. Okay, forget it. I'm getting into other stuff. It was like Grease Lightning. Here's who you write to get me off the air. Because I'm a coward. I can't do it myself. Where were we? Oh, Yum Yum. So Yum Yum was reading me a book. She goes, do you want to hear something? I go, yes, I do, because I got ears. And I did. And I still do. The same ears that was then, back at the summer of blah, blah. Yeah. So she was reading the passages from a book, and it was like, oh, God. Next thing you know, it's like my father is like, can I see your sunrise? And I did rise. It wasn't like an Easter risen or anything like Jesus or anything, you know. It wasn't that holy. I mean, I didn't rise. I mean, my penis didn't rise like Jesus. Well, maybe it did, and then it left. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is it was a doink and a boing. And then I just noticed her luscious lips. Everything disappeared, but those little lips were just talking and smacking. And the dirty talk started. It was love, my friends. It was a sunny day, and the birds were singing, and it was a love story. It was a very lovely day, that day, my friends. Yes. And then she said to me, Brian. And she whispered, because there's people around, my brothers and sisters and her brothers and sisters. And I go, yeah. She goes, would you like to come to my room? I don't know what that means, but I want to go. You ever know that something sounds so good, it's like a roller coaster or something or a zip line, and you don't know how it's going to end, but you just got to ride the ride. Right. You got to get into the ride. Smoke them, bitches. It's 420. You know you got to ride the ride. So I'm trying to ride the ride. Giddy up, cowgirl. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Oh, God, this is good. This is good. I see Jesus. Hello, Jesus. See you soon. 420. So for us to go to her room, the parents were all having a conversation in the living room. So we had to go through the kitchen, through the living room, and go up the stairs to her bedroom. But there were parents there. And she goes, your father's here. I go, what's he doing here? She goes, he's talking to my mom. I go, oh, not good. She goes, can you calm down a little bit? I am calm. She goes, you have a boner. Well, yeah. Just relax it. I'm trying, but it's not helping. She goes, we have to go through the kitchen. Yes. Maybe I could put a pan on it or maybe a glass. It'll hold it. 420 bitches. Whew. So we finally disguised it. I put it in my pocket, and I whooped it up like all men do. So now it's on my stomach. And we walk through. She goes, I'll go first. I go, okay. So it's her little butt sashayed, and she left. And I'm looking at her going, yum, yum. So she goes up the stairs. She made it past the guards. She's good. She could be a spy. Could be a spy. She was slick. She was cool. Never seen anything that cool. Unless she said a black B movie. They're cool. They're cool bitches, man. She was a one cool bitch. That would be a good name for somebody on their profile. Cool bitch. She was one freaking cool bitch. Just good spy. Hi. And she just fluttered up there. And I go, it's my turn. Calm down. I'm trying to calm myself down because I'm going to be with Yum Yum. And I want to hear more stories, right? And so I look at the stairs. I see a little finger like, come on. And I go, uh-oh. How cool can you be at 11 and you got a boner? This is not good. So I just, they were there. And I walked out of the kitchen, and I kind of whistled. Why was I whistling? You know what I mean? Why was I whistling? That was the first clue. Because I don't whistle, and I can't whistle. I'm just blowing. I mean, what the big deal? What was I doing? And then I put my hand on the banister, and I got up the first step, and my father goes, what are you doing? Huh? What are you doing? Huh? You heard me, boy. What are you doing? Come here. Uh-oh. Now I have to talk to my father with a boner. And I realize that boners can get scared and they disappear right away. But sometimes they can leave a wet spot. It's like now it's like you peed your pad. But forget that. That's another story. So he goes, where are you going? I go, I'm going upstairs. Why? I got to think fast again. I started to panic. I mean, if there was a samurai sword in the house, I would have put it right through my heart and end this madness.
420, motherfuckers. Yeah, smoke them. We still got brain. We got brain cells left. We got to smoke them and kill them all. Kill them all. Back to the story.
And then finally he goes, you're not going upstairs. I go, why? You know why. I don't have to tell you. Go outside and play. I go, damn it. Now I'm outside playing. She's up in the bedroom waiting for me, reading a dirty book and dressed lovely. And I could only imagine her body. So she waited and waited and waited. And finally we're ready to leave. She catches me. She goes, I've been waiting for you. What happened? I said, I got busted. Now I got a record. It's on my permanent record. She goes, oh, no. Yeah. And then we're leaving tomorrow. We never got together. Never got together. To this day, we do talk. And we laugh about it. And if you know who I am, I was an innuendo. So, come on, baby. You know, she goes, oh, stop. You know. So, anyway, that's what happened. That's what happened. Do you guys, I mean, it's just, if you have a beautiful family, I mean, cousins, uncles, and forget uncles, forget it. I'm just saying, I'm going to talk to you on a different level here. I mean, don't you have a beautiful cousin or whatever, and have you ever, you know, and have you ever had brothers where your girlfriend's going, he's good looking, I would love to have your brother. Did you peek at him in the shower? Did you peek at her? I mean, when you're kids and everything, and I know you grow up, I mean, have you ever fell in love with a relative? An uncle, an aunt? I don't know. How can you, if they're really good looking and they're really this and you hardly ever see them, you know, stepkids do not count. Step family do not count. They do not count because they're not blood related. And what about that? What about that? I see it on Pornhub all the time, stepsister and brother. I mean, can you imagine your father or your mother remarried and now you got a beautiful stepsister or brother, but almost your same age or even older, better yet? Maybe you're a freshman and she's a senior. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. I mean, have we ever had these intentions and the frustrations and stuff? I like to know that. So today, the subject is Biden signs executive order legalizing incest across the country. We're going to look into that. And we're going to look into the other thing, too, the age of consent. And there's some other things we're going to look in. It's a relationship show, motherfuckers. I am the Beast, and let's talk to Beauty. Hello, Beauty.
I need to stop you right now. This is disgusting. Right now. Stop.
The censorship. The censorship.
Oh, no. No.
It was a. Don't you think that was a good coming of age story? I thought it was a good love story.
No, that was disgusting. Don't ever tell it again.
I'll never tell it again. But you know, there's some people out there in Kentucky.
Well, not me.
Have you ever had a cousin or a second cousin, whatever?
No, that, I've never. Absolutely
that you thought was
not.
Cute. You thought that
no.
was cute. I cannot be the only one.
Well, I think you are.
Probably am. My family is so fucked up.
You know, I'm going to call back in. My sound is terrible.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for a quick break to get some coffee, and we're going to come back with our subject. And I like it when people lose control on the air when they're live. Now, I watch Morning Joe, and Joe lost control, and it's funny to me. So I'm going to hear a little bit of that. Today's subject is Biden signs executive order legalizing incest across the country. We're going to look into that. Beauty's here. And if you'd like to come in, you'd like to come into the studio just like Melissa, the number is 319-527-6099, Melissa's royalty, because she is an insider. She is a morning crew.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And we'll get back to these stories. What do you think, sweetheart? Is that cool?
That's good. We'll get into that story because I already did my due diligence. But anyway.
Okay. Exactly. Right. Oh, Sammy School's on the case. Exactly. But we can't give it away. We can't give it away yet.
Yeah.
We can't give it away yet.
No.
Sometimes we have. There's a song that I like. And then it was a commercial in California that made me not like it anymore. And it's everywhere by, come on, help me out. I want to be with you everywhere. Come on, Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac, song called
okay.
Everywhere. And it's not, it's like a road, it's by Fleetwood Mac. It's not a road trip song. It's a road trip song. It is a road trip song for females. You can't feel, you can't, and you can't feel like a real man if you sing that song. And but I like the song, and so I hear it in California, and it's a commercial. It's a cute commercial, so it shows everybody, you know, going to the beach and everything. The song is playing, and I want to be with you everywhere. The girls are in a car and they're singing. It's a karaoke kind of thing. Then it shows these
yep.
four dudes in the car. And one dude, and one dude tries to sing the song, and the other guy goes, and they're laughing. I'm going, dude, dude, really, dude, and he stops singing.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, are there songs and artists that straight men cannot really admit out loud that they listen to,
yeah.
like Madonna or Cher or the Village
yeah.
People? I mean, can we admit out loud to our boy dudes, our brothers, that? You know what? I like a little share. And they're going to look at you like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, seriously. I mean, it sounds silly, but Melissa, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
You remember that movie Tommy Boy? And he
I
and,
never saw
it,
but I heard of it, yeah.
It's a funny movie. He and the, who's that other little actor, David Spade?
Yeah.
Were driving, and it was like a chick song, and they were singing it and crying. Yeah. Crying,
just
crying,
like,
crying. Yeah.
Just like
that's
that.
A good movie.
Just
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
I mean, can
and
a
then
guy...
And then they hit a
deer. Oh, I think I've seen that. You know what? I'm going to
yeah.
try to find that clip. I'm going to try to find that clip. That sounds funny. But they hit a deer. I just wonder, are there certain artists that straight men are forbidden to listen to out loud in? And we're afraid that our bros are going to look at us like we're some kind of, you know, fagula, which is Jewish for fag,
mm-hmm.
which is nice for homosexual, which is different from gay.
That's a nice word. Fagula.
Fagula?
Oh, I like that.
Don't say
it. It is. It's good. It's nice. It sounds good, right?
It's, I don't know. It's not nice. It means fag.
I love words.
Okay.
I do. A fagula.
Well,
okay.
Okay, well, so anyway, let me get my coffee. Let's get this subject going. We had a full studio yesterday, and that's because we were on our regular time at 7 a.m. I'm on at a different time, thanks to beautiful Melissa, who texts me and saying, is there a show? I'm going, what the hell? What time is it? And I got up late. I'm in California, bitches. It's 10:23
yep.
a.m. in the morning here, so... Am I going to get
yep.
people come in? We got an hour show. I don't know. But chances are, if they look at Blog Talk, they'll be in here. I guarantee you. We might even get Stan.
Well, you know
here.
Sarge will come in if, on this subject, I think.
I don't know. I think Stanley, if he sees this subject, he'll be in 2 minutes chastising me.
Stan Lee. Mm-hmm.
Stan Lee? All right, so I'm going to get my coffee and... I think I'm going to play a not-so-butch song, you know? Do you know what I mean?
oh, my.
Right, I'll be right back. You are listening
okay,
to
bye.
Brian Hammer
well,
Jackson
not bye,
and the lovely
I'm
Melissa.
I'm going to mute.
Okay, kiddo. And we'll be right back.
To leave it, take time to breathe.
baby. I feel like a man now. Oh, so you're Brad Pitt. What was that song? Oh, I feel like a woman. Jesus, what's happening to me? This late thing in life, am I turning? Woo! All right. The title of the song.
You might as well put the bird page on while you can watch that. Right?
Yeah. Oh, why don't I just put a tutu on and call it a day and just say, that's it. Wow. Exactly. Man, I feel
song.
Like.
I like that song personally.
Which one?
I like that Cher song. I think it's a good song.
I know. I like it. She has some good songs. I like the other one, too. When she was singing on the battleship, I forgot the song that she had, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. She's good. Yeah. And Gypsy mm-hmm. Tramps and Thieves. Daddy would have shot him if he knew what he'd done.
Yeah.
With Gypsy Tramps and Thieves.
Yep.
Sometimes people lose it. I like it when people lose it. I really do. When people lose it on the air, cracks me up. Now, apparently, and we're going to play it. I'm going to find it. I watch Morning Joe. Now, a lot of my audience do not watch Morning Joe, so I think we're in safe territory that you did not hear him or see him go off the air.
He goes off the rails sometimes.
Huh, kiddo?
He goes off the rails sometimes.
He really does, and I like it when he does. I really do, because it's so real.
What is the one that with Bill O'Reilly? Fuck it.
Oh.
Yes. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
We'll do it in post. We'll do it in post.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I like shit. I mean, I have gone off the rails and everything on this show live, and could happen. Sure.
You.
But
a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah, you have gone woo.
I have.
You have.
Yep.
Wow.
Have.
But you know, it's natural. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna play that before we get to our main meat of the story.
Yep.
And it's you know what was really damn, was it last night he was funny? Was it last night? Stephen Colbert was just fucking hilarious. Just fucking hilarious. But, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this. Let me see. I'm sorry, kiddo. Hold on 1 second. My computer was acting up. Here we go. I'm going to play a little bit of Joe. Joe was pissed off about, what was he pissed off about? Dominion reaching the settlement because of America and their lies and everything. Here we is, Joe Starborg, everybody.
The truth matters. Lives have consequences. Over 2 years ago, a torrent of lies swept Dominion and election officials across America into an alternative universe of conspiracy theories, causing grievous harm to Dominion and the country. Today's settlement of $787,500,000 represents vindication and accountability. Lies have consequences.
Fox News avoids what could have been weeks more of embarrassing coverage by settling at the last minute with Dominion. We're going to break down the terms of this historic deal and explain the other legal issues looming for the network.
Let me just say, though, the obvious right here. It was the worst of all worlds for Fox News. I know a lot of people wanted to see all the dirty laundry put out.
A lot of it was out.
Well, it was already out, and there's going to be more because there are more of these lawsuits. I mean, coming, as Michelle Goldberg wrote this morning in the New York Times, part of Fox's sinister on-air brilliance was a way it encases its audience in a comprehensive alternative reality, but now, for once, the network would be forced to account for itself outside the right-wing bubble. How it would possibly do that was a matter of great suspense, but they settled. But as you said, Smartmatic is suing Fox for $2.7 billion. Reality is not done with Murdoch and the rest of them. And I've just got to say, and just really quickly, I just want to jump to you really quickly, Danny, because I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday. The news broke. They go, oh, my God, this is so horrible, and how could I da-da-da. I said, no, it's horrible. We're not going to, you know, get this trial. There is no justice done. I said, no, and I just got to be blunt. I hate to say it. This is what happens when you've got a 93-year-old man running a company and everybody's just a yes man to him, because I can't believe Murdoch 20 years ago wouldn't have settled this months ago. And when I say this is the worst of all worlds, you settle these things early if you're Fox or if you're another business, so you don't humiliate everybody at the network. Yeah. Oh, they did that. They said, we're going to be stubborn. We're going to humiliate all of our anchors. We're going to humiliate all of our executives. We're going to humiliate everybody that works at this network, and we're going to fight a case that we know we're going to lose because we're stubborn and we think we can get away with it. And then at the last second, they pay $800 billion.
Million.
$800 million. $800 million. So they have the worst of both worlds now, and they've got another suit coming.
Yeah, this case was always going to settle. And a lot of folks said, well, is it surprising that we're even talking settlement now that we've gotten a trial? It's completely not surprising. That happens all the time in civil cases. And, in fact, insurance companies and defendants are known for waiting until the courthouse steps, till the day of trial, till jury selection, to finally come to the table and settle. But that's in the ordinary, let's say, a motor vehicle accident case where the whole world isn't watching. And that makes some economic sense because those insurance companies, they hold on to that money as long as they can. They invest
right.
it, whatever the case may be. This is not that case.
Right.
This is a case where the bloodletting happened for Fox all along the way. They should have raced early and often to the plaintiffs to settle the case. Now, in reality, probably it's the case that the plaintiffs knew that. And maybe there were overtures early on, and the plaintiff said, you know what, we feel really good about our chances. We're
right.
going to trial. And by the way, that is a negotiation strategy for plaintiffs. I do it myself.
Right.
You wait until trial to raise the stakes. And I promise you that whatever Fox ended up settling for, I bet that was already offered. It's something they may have rejected earlier on, and it cost
really,
them more money later.
There was no way Murdoch was ever going to take the stand. We knew this case legally was a slam dunk. The judge had basically already said it. And by the way, for people who don't know, this is one of the hardest cases, civil cases, to prove. This is almost unprecedented.
You have to prove actual malice.
Right.
And clearly Fox thought that that's where this was headed. You don't settle for almost $1 billion if you think you have a shot at winning the case. And it raises the question, Danny, what Joe mentioned, this next lawsuit, Smartmatic suing for $1 billion more than Dominion was doing, $2.7 billion. So if, as the judge in this Dominion case said, it is crystal clear because of the evidence we've all seen that Fox hosts lied knowingly about this conspiracy theory, what does Fox do with this next lawsuit? Are they smarter this time? Do they go ahead and just settle before all the dirty laundry is out again?
Yeah, you have some really compelling language from a judge, and you mentioned the elements of defamation. In this case, one of those elements was already deemed satisfied by the judge. That's something that almost never happens. Plaintiffs don't normally win on summary judgment, and in this case, there are really two major elements of defamation. Was it false, and what did the defendant do? Did they ignore it? Did they know it? Were they reckless?
Mm-hmm.
That first element, the falsity, was established going into trial. Now, does that help Smartmatic?
Can you underline really quickly, and this is a personal note for me, for 20 years, I've called different lawyers. I said, this person's accusing me of being a murderer. That person, and Meeks has been there for a lot of it. I want to sue him. Oh, no, what do you mean? I can't sue them? They go, you've got to prove actual malice. I said, obviously, no, I didn't. Oh, but you don't know what's in there. So I've learned, unfortunately, the hard way over 20 years, defamation, almost impossible to prove. And yet Fox, what they did after the election,
so egregious that this was a slam dunk. In a type of case, I just want to underline for everybody at home, it's almost impossible, I found out the hard way, to take to court and win.
Yeah, most defamation cases are almost impossible to win for a number of reasons. Number one, they're expensive to prove. You have to prove economically that you were harmed by this statement. And secondly, normally the people who say this don't have any money to pay a judgment. Normally someone who's saying awful things about you online or wherever, they live in their mom's basement. They don't have any assets to satisfy a judgment. This is the rare case where you have some strong evidence of falsity, strong evidence that people knew it was false, and massively deep pockets in order to pay a judgment. But I'll tell you what, Joe, because you didn't call me about these defamation cases.
Right.
I would have told you most lawyers try to dissuade people from taking on defamation
all
cases.
Lawyers.
They really do. And I'll give you the inside. They usually do that because lawyers don't want to take on the risk of having to pay in a contingent fee arrangement where they have to front the cost. They don't want to have to pay to try and prove a defamation case because the risk is too high. They like the sure thing. And so I'm not surprised most lawyers end up dissuading people from bringing defamation.
And by the
cases.
Way, I would call people and say, who's the best defamation lawyer in America? I call the best defamation lawyer in America who won these big cases. Oh, no, it's too hard to.
Yeah, I'm like, you're a defamation lawyer, dude.
What do you do?
Why don't you do, like,
they're waiting
with
for the
ball.
They're waiting for the perfect case.
And this
yes.
is that perfect. Everyone's been waiting.
But lawyer, this was, for lawyers, the perfect defamation case.
It was. I mean, and they had thousands upon thousands of pages of documents that they could point to of this. They were able to seemingly the actual malice. They felt fairly confident in that. And I know, yes, there were a lot of people, to Joe's point, who were disappointed that we didn't get a trial, that Fox News did not have to deliver on-air apologies, that anchors haven't had to say, you know, we misled you because of X or Y. But there could be a chilling fact going forward. So tell us a little more about, if you would, the Smartmatic, which is the other case. Give us a sense. It's in New York, so it's a little, maybe perhaps a little more difficult than Delaware, I believe experts have said to do. Give us the timeline. What should we expect there?
Yeah, New York law doesn't provide for a newsworthiness type defense. And of course, Smartmatic is bringing a very similar claim against Fox News, and now they're only emboldened by the settlement.
Right.
I mean, yes, nothing in the settlement is preclusive. In other words, none of the facts will really apply to Smartmatic, but it signals to Smartmatic that, hey, this is a defendant who's willing to settle a case, and not just
settle it
for a lot of money. Keep in mind also that the reason we know about $700 million in settlement, believe me, that was a point that was negotiated, and I bet it actually cost money. In other words, the plaintiff said, we want to publicize this. You know, frankly, if I'm the plaintiff's lawyers, I don't really care about an admission of liability. I care about the money, and the money, if I'm able to publicize that settlement amount, that is a tremendous trophy to put on
it
your wall.
It speaks volumes.
And I bet it costs the money.
So Fox lawyers did not talk to reporters yesterday, but the network did put out a statement, and here is what it says. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest.
Hold on. That's ambiguity. Go back to that ambiguity and that line, because I had two people read it to me, and one said, I was on plane at the time, and one said, oh, you know, the statement, they admit liability, and then the other one, oh, no, they, yeah.
But this cost them.
We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. Really? Come on.
That's legalese? Is that the term, Danny?
They basically acknowledged that the judge said something in an opinion.
Right.
That is the only thing they did with that statement.
That's an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. They say this settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards.
$800 million.
We are hopeful that our decision to resolve
Ringing right now from the courthouse in Delaware. Writer at large for the New York Times, go gaslight somebody else. And Sunday Magazine, Jim Rutenberg, also with his professor at Princeton University, Eddie Glaude Jr., and U.S. special correspondent for BBC News, Caddy Kaye. I just got to say, nothing gleeful here, by the way. I saw some people on TV yesterday, nothing gleeful.
No, this is an American tragedy. Yes,
this is an American tragedy that's been unfolding now for over 3 years, a lie that is cut at the very heart of American democracy, a lie that led people to January 6th, that have good Americans who were good law-abiding Americans turn into criminals, turn into rioters, turn into convicts who are in prison now suffering for the sins of millionaires and billionaires. That is the reality. And while that was going on, and this is a little personal, I swear to God, I know people are going to think I'm over the top here. I just got back from Poland. They're talking about the 80th anniversary of the Warsaw Uprising. I talked to a 97-year-old Auschwitz survivor who said, I saw what you did in America on January the 6th. What you did is push back on what was happening in our country in the early 1930s. You were fighting for the very soul of your democracy right now and the future of your people. And at the heart of that fight, he said, is the truth. I'm going to play you some of that interview later on today. But the truth that has been slayed every day and every night cynically by people who lied on the air and off the air, mocked the very people they were lying to. So no glee here. No glee. Nothing to be happy about. This is an American tragedy for anybody who gives a damn about this democracy and who gives a damn about universal freedoms and human rights and Western values. Yeah, I said it. Western values. And that's that. Now let's go to Jim Rutenberg at the courthouse. I don't want anybody to think I'm gleeful. Jim, I will say I was gleeful about one thing. Your reporting from inside the courthouse read like a Grisham novel. You were talking about people sweltering, the courtroom packed. I could also almost see Matthew McConaughey sweating inside. Judge, I got to take a recess. I got to wash all the sweat off my face.
No AC in those courtrooms.
No, yeah,
that was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
That. Anyway.
And did you see Ashley Judge?
Yeah.
I was like, come on, they're going to have to revive her.
I know.
But Jim. But Jim, it really was an extraordinary scene inside that courthouse. Take us there and tell us what you know.
Well, first of all, I heard mention of the courthouse steps. That's the cliche, the settlement's courthouse steps. This was the jury was impaneled. The lawyers are raring to go. As my colleague Jeremy Peters wrote in the paper today, the lapel mics were on. I mean, these lawyers were ready for combat. So when that stops out of the blue, and we're sitting there for hours. I mean, the rumors were, was there bad sushi with the lunch from the jury? So it was just this crazy moment. The other lawyers in the room had not really seen anything like that happen before. So wild moment, and there you have it, settlement, which so many people have predicted all along, but people here on the ground in Delaware, you know, their job was to litigate, and these lawyers were prepped. There were 40 boxes brought into this building. This was going to be a huge trial. So just a crazy moment.
Jim, you've been covering this case for a long time now. Are you surprised at the way that Fox handled or mishandled this, which is to say all the stuff got out, all the discovery was out there for the world to see, all the texts and the emails, we saw the truth. The whole world saw it, and then they still settled. In hindsight, or have you heard from some people internally at Fox who said, yeah, we should have settled several months ago if that was where this was headed?
Well, there's still a lot more that we want to know about that because I am, of course, I'm surprised. I mean, this was an inordinate amount of discovery. Now, I do know that Fox was surprised that this much discovery was allowed to be seen publicly initially. That wasn't a given. The judge allowed some of that to happen, so I think some things were unforeseen by them. Maybe they should have been foreseen. I don't know. But I am really surprised that it got this far before it settled. And by the way, I want to say one thing about this settlement amount. So it's almost $800 million. Their net income in the last fiscal year was $1.2 billion. So this is like a huge amount of annual net income. That's an amazing number.
So, Jim, we heard from the head of Dominion yesterday suggesting that, though we're obviously pleased with this, that there were other people who needed to be held to account, that they sensed that there would be others that they would seek damages from.
Who are they?
Well, Dominion has several other cases going. There's Mike Lindell, Newsmax, and then you have separately these Smartmatic suits. I don't see how Newsmax can gut through a case the way that Fox just did. I mean, look at the resources that Rupert Murdoch has. They're also a smaller company. They don't have the money to settle the way that Rupert Murdoch did. I mean, again, almost, $800 million. So there's going to be a lot more coming forward here.
Can I ask about, though, Jim, really quickly about Newsmax? We had that moment where you had an anchor when Mike Lindell, Mr. Pillow, came on and started lying. The anchor literally got out of his chair and basically, in the words of Eric Cartman, he basically said, screw you guys, I'm going home. He got up and walked off the set. Doesn't that show that Newsmax at least tried to move beyond and they made their apologies and tried to mitigate any possible damages?
Well, that was certainly a moment. And, but the thing that surprises me, Joe, is that we see those moments, and then I don't know, it never seems to be lasting across this part of the media sphere. So we'll see, right? I mean, Fox News, even during this trial, Tucker Carlson had been airing. He did special reports about January 6th, disputing what happened on January 6th. So, we'll see how much this – now there's a settlement. People are always seem ready to move on with today's attention spans, say the least.
So, Jim, we read earlier the statement from Fox News and the slightly ambiguous comment about they accept the court's findings that there may have been some things wrong about what was said about Dominion. Is there anything in this settlement that will impact – in a legal way, possibly, or any other way, how Fox covers the 2024 election and the outcome of that election?
Again, that remains to be seen. You're seeing a lot of punditry already overnight that this is not going to change anything, that Fox will go forward the way they always go forward, and maybe there's a repeat here. I do want to say there is no planet on which Fox enjoyed this process. There is no way, as Joe pointed out earlier, that this was good for them to have all these internal communications out in the public. And there's no way that Wall Street's going to sit by if there's $800 million settlement after $800 million settlement. So there are various disincentives, but are they trumped by the ratings incentives, the competitive incentives, and what the audience wants, which is kind of the holy grail in the media sphere right now?
So, Jim, let me ask you really quickly on this, just an economics question. Fox News, obviously, I mean, they've been number one since, like, 1999.
Of course.
On and off, but 90% of the time, they've been number one. They're a cash cow for Murdoch's empire, a cash cow. But I read something that like $4 billion. They got like $4 billion in cash, right? $800 million is a lot.
They do.
Look at Smartmatic, you got another maybe $800 million. Maybe they don't settle with Smartmatic. Maybe that becomes a billion. I mean, suddenly that shakes any organization, any corporation to its core. And the board says, okay, you're going to have to put somebody in charge at Fox News that actually puts up guardrails. Because I know, and Jim, you'll probably agree with me here, no matter what you thought of Roger Ailes, there were guardrails up there. When Glenn Beck went through the guardrails, he fired him. If O'Reilly said something on a night that he had problems with, he called him in. He goes, you went past the line. And again, I know a lot of people hated him, but there were guardrails on you couldn't, like, accuse American democracy of being rigged. And this has cost them $800 million. Do you think that this impact, the impact of maybe another $800 billion, finally gets them to move and put somebody in charge at Fox News that actually puts guardrails up?
Well, there was talk even before this trial that there was a new kind of added layer of some editorial oversight. Again,
Past week, Tucker Carlson is lying about January the 6th. While this trial is going on, for the love of God. I mean, is there nobody on the board? And again, I'm not. This is not about politics. This is just about business. Is there nobody on the board that says, you know, maybe we should stop exposing ourselves to billion-dollar lawsuits?
Well, Paul Ryan, in fact, is a member of that board. He had been voicing some of that. And the other thing,
it's a serious question. You know what? Not to quote Logan Roy, I love some of these people, but they're not serious people. Really not. Like, how does any board? I talked to one CEO after another CEO after another CEO that runs big companies. They don't know how this is allowed to happen at a company. An $800 billion exposure. They've got another $800 million, and they've humiliated all of their hosts. They could have protected their hosts from this humiliation, so they've humiliated them. It's the worst of all worlds. They're exposed. So my point is, they print money. They don't print that much money. At what point is there a reckoning over there, and they put somebody in charge that puts guardrails up editorially?
Well, you know, there's another thing that we haven't mentioned is that there could also be some shareholder lawsuits. Depending on how much of this $800 million is covered, by the way, they have libel insurance. It's always really hard to figure out how much of that will cover. But there could be some shareholder lawsuits that would be added pressure on the network.
So, Eddie, to Joe's earlier point about this being an American tragedy, and it is, there was a man a couple of days ago from Connecticut sentenced to 7.5 years in prison for attacking the Capitol. He said, his attorney said, he followed a lie. He believed something he wasn't true. He knows that now, and he's going to go pay the price for that, and he's just one of many to do that. The catch here, as we talk about all of this, is that the audience that watches Fox News and is a big audience will not hear the truth. You're not going to hear the correction of this. They don't have to apologize on the air. They may not bore in deeper specifically on this Dominion piece of it because they're smart enough at this point to know they cost them almost $1 billion, but they're not going to hear the true story, and the lies will continue, and those people who watch will again follow some of those lies.
I was just thinking that, Willie. I know $787 million. I understand it's import, it's significant, but there's no apology, no public apology. Howard Kurtz came on, said,
goes on, and then Joe gets really crazy, and then he starts saying bullshit, you know, right, live on the air and everything. I love that shit. I love that shit when people just lose it. What do you think? Did you find that interesting, Melissa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I love Morning Joe, man. He comes on at 3:30 in the morning, and this is my schedule.
Oh, my God.
I get off the air, and I work like a hamster on a wheel. Just turning. By the time I look up, it's the NBA playoffs. I got to watch the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more than a lot of millionaires playing a child's game and making millions. Got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something wrong? Melissa, you're not really a sports person. 111 is on the air. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson and the Melissa. 111.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Here and
hello.
Present.
Hey.
I just wanted to hear your voice. I phoned in yesterday, and my prayers were met.
Yeah, how come you didn't talk? I saw you come in. I knew that was you. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you knew that was me.
Sure.
You knew that was me? How could
yes.
You?
I you, said, you and I have you and I have kismet. I could feel your spirit, the power that you
really?
Possess. You're intellectual. Really? You're an intellectual warrior.
Surely you jest.
I do not jest.
You're egging it on.
Melissa, you're egging it on. No, he is. Mr. Solution is an intellectual
Melissa,
warrior.
What's happening?
Okay. How are you?
Yeah, let me bifurcate just for a minute, and I haven't been in the know, as it were. So let's see. Fox News reported that this only refers to the machines where Fox News was saying basically that the machines were faulty, and it was pretty much conclusive that the machines were not faulty.
No, no. What they were saying is that the machines, this is 2020, I guess, the machines were switching votes from Trump to Biden. Therefore, he won the election. So that's what they were claiming. Dominion said that's bullshit. We do not do that. But they kept going on. Each different host kept on blaming Dominion machines switching votes to Biden.
Right. Mm. Okay.
And that's why they got the defamation lawsuit going on. And Dominion says, we had enough of this shit. So there you go.
Okay, but now, wait a minute, before you go. This is not saying, okay, in other words, this is strictly limited to the machines.
Yes.
And that Dominion was not doing that. They weren't switching votes. However, what about the mail-in ballots being false? And also this Hunter Biden, this information being suppressed. I think Elon Musk, when he purchased Twitter, found that the government was in communication with Twitter to suppress certain information. So this lawsuit did not touch on that, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay, yes. So I just want to be clear. Go ahead.
This is purely about Dominion's machines and that how Fox was lying. Different hosts on Fox were having their audience believe that the election is bogus because the machine, Dominion machines, were switching votes from Trump to Biden. That's what this lawsuit is.
Right.
About.
Okay. So that's narrowly tailored. And, you know, I'm a fan of the courts. I mean, the courts have treated me well over the years. So, and I see that as the only bastion. You know, I've stood back and I basically said that were it not for the courts, we would be at each other's throats in an unimaginable way. And so I'm a super fan of the courts. I just can't say enough about them. Not perfect. They're not perfect, but they're the best we have going.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I just thought it was really important that a lot of people don't know, you know, what's going on with Fox News and everything. And my girlfriend had said, you know, well, that's the end of Fox News and Tucker and everything. I go, no. I started thinking, no. She goes, what are you talking about? See, it's not so much of the news. It's the personalities on the news. I mean, I did watch Tucker one time, and he is a guy that you want to listen to. I mean, he talks to you. I mean, the way he talks to you, and he brings in the audience. So it's not so much the news per se, it's the personalities, you know? And people would miss Tucker, you know, Tucker's personality.
He's better than his predecessor, right? O'Reilly?
Yeah. O'Reilly was kind of offensive and gritty. And
we just talked about him earlier.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again. You muffled.
We just talked about him earlier.
Bill
Remember
O'Reilly.
That?
You mean O'Reilly?
Yeah,
Bill O'Reilly, yeah.
I'm not a fan of what we're just talking about. Go ahead, Melissa.
When people flip out on the air and there's always that clip of him, do it live, he's screaming. And,
do it live. Do it live.
Yeah.
Do you think he beat the hell out of his wife? Not that some wives don't deserve being beat the hell out of. See, I'm not one of those cowards who say that women should never be hit. I say there's nothing in nature or nothing in nature's laws that says a woman shouldn't be hit. But, you know, that was a that was an accusation that he had beaten his wives. Wives can get very vicious in, what do you call this, divorces, and they can drive a man to distraction. Let me just say this. I don't know if you guys remember, but Dobson, what was his name? Jim Dobson, James Dobson. And I forget the Jim and James. What do you call a James? You call them Jim, or do you call Jim's James? It's one or the other.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, anyway, he ended up saying that women can drive men into a corner with no way to go but to come out swinging. So even, and he's more conservative Christian than I am. He and I had a fight once. Well, not a fight. Yeah, a little bit of a fight. It was kind of like a letter writing fight. And I was calling him to task on some of his chauvinistic sexism bullshit. But, yeah, so anyway, O'Reilly was accused of, was it strangling her or fighting his wife?
I heard something of that, and Fox paid them out. Fox settled that. You know what's very interesting? I don't have it, and I should have had it. It's called preparation. You know, when you do, it's funny. You could go on a blog talk show, and you can tell that people are not prepared. And I try to prepare. I try to prepare a subject and back it up with facts. But I hate blog talk, and I don't. 85% of the audience bore me because they're not prepared. They don't have facts. They just come on and hope that there are three people that will be on and lead the conversation.
That's where I come in many times.
Well, you have led the conversation. Yes, you have moved the conversation forward, sir. But I'm saying that I do some kind of preparation.
Not so much, I'm sorry, not so much on your show, Brian, because I think you are generally prepared. But I saw that weakness, and I'll just, I know this is a little bit of a sidebar. I saw that weakness in so many show hosts many, many years ago. So that's the reason I said I never needed a show because so many shows are on crutches, you know, so I would come in to prop up certain shows. And certain shows, like I did a financial guidance show yesterday, a two-parter, and I enjoyed doing that, you know, just helping the people out with some financial direction and just sharing some ideas, but mainly telling them to get professional guidance because no one can say specifically what it is that you need to do because I don't have all that information. And even if I did, I wouldn't say, you know. But that was a good show. I think, that was about, that was 3 hours, three hours. And they may ask me back again. I don't know, but, you know, I'm promoting this 60 to 80 hours a week, especially for men. Men are going to have to, you know, have a lot of money because a lot of women, if they want a woman, they're going to have to support the woman because women aren't going to have that $1.9 to $2.4 million to get them from 65 to 85. But anyway, I digress. Go on.
Well, that's what I'm basically saying, and that's why I think Blog Talk is hanging on by a thread. That don't get me wrong, there are some professional people on Blog Talk. There's some professional shows on there that people, you know, nowadays everybody has a podcast. Anybody on NBC, CBS, ABC, they have a podcast. Trust me. But
not on
Blog
Talk. You may mean YouTube.
No, on Blog Talk. If you look at some of the shows on Blog Talk, you got celebrities on there that do blog talking. You do.
Let me tell you. Blog Talk. Maybe so. Go ahead.
So I had a person ask me. This is a sidebar. We'll get back to the story. But I had a person ask me. Go. I listen to your show. I like your show. You're funny. Blah 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 blah. Do you prepare? Do you write it down? Is it scripted? This was like maybe 6 months ago. Whatever. It was in my Facebook. I go, I don't have any professional training as far as radio communications or whatever. I have none. And the reason I started Blog Talk, because people hated me. They hated me on Facebook. They couldn't stand me. I used to do a bit. God bless
you,
Diane Dillon. Oh, yeah, me. I used to do a bit because I used to mock Facebook. So I used to do a bit of Facebook Airline. I used to do a bit about Facebook every time I came on. Diane Dillon, God bless her, rest in peace. She was a big fan. She was because Blog Talk was, I mean, not Blog Talk, Facebook was blah, 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 blah. So I used to do a bit about, you know, this is Facebook Airlines, and we are flying at an altitude of this and this and this. And it always ended up crashing and burning. You know, but there's a little story in between that, and, you know, the pilot is having sex in the thing, and he's smoking weed, and the waitress, you know, it was the whole, Diane was just be laughing and laughing and laughing. You know, I just used to mock Facebook. And when I got Blog Talk, she was my only person on there. But what I'm trying to say is that I don't know if you need training. You need a subject. Am I? Do I wing? I don't even know half the time. Like, for instance, this morning, Melissa texts me, and she goes, and I didn't realize what time it is. I don't know half the time what I'm going to say or what subject I'm going to talk about until the final hour. And then I'll do a little research. So that's just sidebar to people saying, well, Brian's prepared, and he makes up these jokes. No, everything's going to fly with me. I don't know who's coming in. I don't know what questions Mr. Solution is going to ask. And you know what's funny about Blog Talk? When you have your guests come in, like Mr. Solution, Melissa's not a guest. She's a morning crew, meaning part of our programming.
But, hey, Brian, and, now you're just bragging on how good you are. Go on.
No, I'm not. I'm explaining. I don't know if it's good or bad because I'm long-winded and I go off track a lot, you know, and I get that complaint too. But I'm just saying that when you have somebody come in, like a Mr. Solution or Sarge, whatever, and you talk to them, it's like an interview. You got to be prepared for them. See, Mr. Solution comes in. Now, Mr. Solution could get bored and say like he did yesterday, and he's very good. But you do lead him to a certain point where he can engage in a conversation. You just can't say, okay, Mr. Solution, come in. Okay, I'm going to have some coffee. Bye, y'all. You know, you can't set him up like that. There has to be a subject that he's interested in, and then you got to ask him questions. So he's basically an interview. And somebody says to Blog Talk, well, what's the secret of Blog Talk? Well, I don't know about the secret of Blog Talk, but the secret that I have is knowing when to get out of the way. If there's any advice that I have for anybody thinking about doing a Blog Talk show or any radio show, it's knowing when to get out of the way and let it go. That's my secret. Mr. Solution could be on a roll, and he could be talking about finance, or he could be talking about relationship, and sometimes it's like, it's cringy, but let him go, because he's not the only one who feels that way, and there's a certain audience out there that feels the same way he does. Let him have his peace. Get out of the way. Right, Melissa? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
You know, Sarge, you can't say enough about him. That guy is singularly brilliant. He calls himself an autodidact or polymath. And see, I encourage Sarge, he doesn't have to do this, and he may not do it, just to crystallize it, to go ahead and get a degree. He could even get the correspondence degree. And, you know, just to solemnize or to memorialize his super intelligence. And he's obviously gifted. See, knowledge doesn't come easily to me. I have to study my tailbone off and repeatedly, you know, go after something. I was reading this article just recently regarding memory, you know, and the greatest component of memory, I think, is familiarity and emotional content. That's the latest that the neuroscientists have chimed in with. Well, you know me, I just study it, and that's the reason I can only focus on a few subjects. And then I can apply logic, though, or the what they call the argonon in Greek to a particular subject. I can kind of get in on it if I get a few facts, and then I can piece it together. But just to be – Sarge knows so much about history. I mean, I would have loved to have taken a history lesson, and I do, you know, under his tutelage, because he brings history alive. It's like he was there. I mean, literally there, You get
right.
me?
Right.
And
he's
so,
a scholar.
I mean, he just brings the past back to the present. But anyway,
sure.
that's a special gift that he has. But I told him to do a correspondence course at minimum to get himself a degree because, you know, that's what I think he wants one, and I think he would like that. So, but anyway. But he is a brilliant guy. If
yes,
know.
He is.
But see, he's brilliant across a broad spectrum, too. Now, I don't think I would love to discuss philosophy and theology with him to a greater
mm-hmm.
extent, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, his mechanical aptitude. Now, I studied with the Army Corps of Engineers in electrical and electrical engineering, electrical and mechanical, so I got my
right.
certificates. And it made it kind of easy for me because, you know, I'm ambidextrous. I can go either way. I can go academically.
That's what she said. Go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Yes. Go on, Brian. Go on.
All right. Look,
the main thing, I'm glad you're doing well. I was doing some cutting. I ruined my chainsaw. Well, I shouldn't say ruin. It came off track. Now, I've never repaired a chainsaw before, but I'm going to go on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'll pick it up. Not as quickly
you think
as
that's
far
wise?
As would.
Yeah.
Huh?
You think that wise to go on YouTube? You know what? To be honest with you, have went on YouTube when I had car problems.
Gone. You've
I
gone.
Swear
you've
to
gone.
God.
Go ahead. Subject verb agreement there, buddy.
Yeah, well, I went on YouTube when I had car problems, you know, with cars acting up and everything. And it works. I have tuned up the car. I have changed the. You know what I'm trying to say? I asked my mechanic one time, "How do you keep up with the new cars and you know electronics?" Blah blah. He said one word. Two words. YouTube. I said, "Well, if he could do YouTube, well, maybe YouTube is one word. If he could do YouTube to fix my car, I could do YouTube to fix my car, and it works. You're absolutely right. You could find.
Yeah,
things.
I've adjusted my bike. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Because see, the thing is, this is the reason. There are so many people on YouTube doing the same thing. So a little bit of triangulation
right.
or a little bit of
right.
One just gets so many different angles at a particular problem. Because sometimes, you know, they won't say something that I need
mm-hmm.
to know. But
mm-hmm.
if I listen to enough people
mm-hmm.
talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to tell you everything because that's the only thing that gives them the edge over another competitor. See, competition
right.
is good in the human sphere, probably in every sphere, but certainly
mm-hmm.
in the human sphere. That's why I like Sarge. I track Sarge. Well, I don't track him, but we listen to some of the same shows. So Sarge has to be accurate. Because so many people are coming at him.
Yeah.
And
well,
he
yeah.
knows it. And
well,
he knows
I,
it. So he's
sure.
got to be. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, you're absolutely correct. But we do have breaking news. And this,
oh,
and this
sure.
goes into what the subject that you were talking about for days, Mr. Solution, and Sammy School is here, which is Melissa's Columbo name. You know, when she gets in investigating. When she gets investigating, there's nobody better. Even Columbo and Sherlock Holmes goes, damn! She's really
yeah, I encourage people to utilize the Columbo tactic.
Right.
I utilize the Columbo tactic all the time. In fact, well, I can't say I was using it before him because he's a lot older than I am. But,
right.
the Columbo tactic... It's analogous to, you know, I've studied military warfare, and
right.
it's like when one cripples or appears to be crippled, and it makes the opposition think they have the advantage, and they
sure.
don't.
Sure.
Yeah, and then comes that uppercut, right?
Yeah. That's what I do on this show all the time. Here we go. I'm winding it up. Well,
oh, it's a wonderful tactic.
Yeah,
ahead,
it is. It
on.
Really is. You know, passive-aggressive tactics work mostly. So it says 6 days ago. It says 6 days, but I just got it now. And, ooh, here we go. Millions and millions of companies out there, legitimate company, bank corporation, corporate companies, whatever, Amazon's feeling the heat. Disney World in Florida is feeling this heat. And what I mean by that is you got your governor in Florida. You know who he is. So he went to war with Disney World, the mouse. He wants to step on the mouse. And so he's threatening Disney World. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole on this. That's a whole different show, but I'm giving you the reason why this story is so important. And so he's backing the mouse in a corner. And when you have a mouse in a house or you have a rat, when you back a mouse in a corner, what's the mouse going to do? The mouse is going to come at you. The mouse is going to come at you. So that's what the governor of Florida did. He backed Disney World in a corner. Well, the mouse says, fuck you. Yeah, the mouse has a potty mouth. And the mouse says, you know what we're going to do? So the governor of Florida wants to build a prison next to Disneyland. That's what he wants to do. And then he threatened to build another amusement park to compete with Disney World in Florida. So he's obsessed with this Disney thing, and I don't know why, because it brings in so much money into the state, but let's not go down that wormhole. Well, is it Iger? I'm thinking it's Iger. Just forgive me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. He's the head honcho of Disney. He's a billionaire. And he says, screw you, because what's going on is that the Florida governor is saying that Disney World is promoting gay rights, and they don't want that kind of thing. He has a don't say gay platform going on. And so he's going after Disney because Disney came in and they made a statement to protect the gay rights and say, you know, we have gay kids here and we love all and blah, blah, blah. Well, the governor of Florida says, I don't like that. Don't say gay. So now it's on. Well, you got the mouse in the corner, and the mouse started to fight back, and the mouse said, I think it's Iger, big CEO of Disney World. I think it's him. He said, you want to play? You want to play, motherfucker? Because you got my mouse in the corner, you know? And so Iger goes, what we're going to do is have a gay day at Disneyland. We're going to invite all the transgenders, the LGBTQ community, and have a big parade at Disney World. Okay, so that's that. But you got other companies like Amazon, so-and-so corporate thing. I'm not going to go each itemized company, are losing money because they are not so much supporting the transgenders, but not so much denying them. They're almost like Switzerland or neutral. Well, this just in. So I set that up to set this up. Headline, Anheuser-Busch. You know Anheuser-Busch. She got the greatest bush in America.
Bud Light, right?
Yeah. It's 420 day. It's 420 day. Bud Light. Very good, Melissa.
Mm.
420 day.
Bud Light.
Bud Light. Smoke responsibly, fuckers.
Brian, before you truck on, I want to say, look, I don't know if you portrayed that quite properly. Because, see, what Disney did, they say when one has his head in the lion's mouth, you shouldn't kick the lion in the ass, right?
True.
So, or don't poke the bear.
Right.
Disney, and I forget the exact incident, forgive me, because I don't hold these things in memory very well. Disney chimed in on this this gay thing, and Disney had very, very special privileges there. They had exemption from certain taxes. Now, I'm not saying they didn't make money for the state, but very sweetheart deals. They were almost
they did.
Like Disney was like a sovereign
They were like the Vatican. They were like their own little country there. They were like their own little country.
Precisely.
There.
And so Disney should have kept quiet. They were very, and I think this was dealing with kids too,
where they wanted to
teach these kids about this homosexual thing. Now, I understand what the homosexuals are doing. They have to convert people. They have to proselytize people because there aren't going to be that many people born that way. I read the Kinsey report, and it was a lie, by the way. I think it stated they were like 5% or 10%. No, it's less than 2% of the population is identified that way. So nevertheless, Disney got involved in something where Disney was vulnerable. And so the state goes, wait a minute, you're going to jump in this against the people? Okay, let's see where your vulnerabilities are. Oh, yeah, yeah. You have all these benefits, these land rights, water rights, whatever else rights they have.
Sure.
And so the governor pulled those. So, look, I'm going to say Disney was at fault there, not realizing their own vulnerability. I thought you were going to tell me that they were going to uproot and leave. So evidently, you didn't say that. So there are still benefits to them because that's their hub, I understand. They're also in Los Angeles, but I believe Florida is their major stomping grounds. Am I correct on that or not?
You may be correct because I'm getting commercials from Disney Florida here in California. I mean, Cindy is a big fan of Disney World in Florida. She, compared to Disneyland here in California, Disneyland here is like a little park, amusement park. You go to Disneyland Florida, you're visiting almost like Mr. Solution was alluding to, and like it is kind of true, a country in its own. It's just with the benefits.
Yeah, they have what you call senior living facilities.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the big honcho. That, as I recall, I've never been and don't really plan to go, but it's not just for kids. I mean, Disney attracts people of all genres,
all over the world.
Ages, whatever. Go
all
ahead.
Over the world. But let me give time for game time. Let's see what you guys think.
But wait a minute. Before you move on, we need to acknowledge Disney invited that trouble by not being circumspect. Sometimes it's better to be just shut up.
I kind of agree with you. Stay out of the political bullshit. I kind of agree with you. I do. I don't know.
Because
why
you're coming more reasonable. I've battered you so much in the past, buffeted and battered and pummeled.
having a
slight bit of impact.
Yeah, right. Go ahead and believe what you want to believe. It's your world and you live in it.
Come with the impact hammer, Brian. That's just the way I am. I'm the original hammer, actually.
Melissa, do you hear this? Are you hearing this?
I am hearing everything. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm leading to is that, it's a wonder that Mr. Solution and I are agreeing so many times. I mean, we are agreeing, is that it is a political hotbed. And politicians need something. They need an enemy. If you're going to elect a politician, I want you to think in history, they always have to have an enemy. Because we're that way.
We're twisted. You know, if it bleeds, it leads, but that's because
of
us.
Right. But that's just like almost human nature, and pick a side. So he decided to go for the softball.
Not me so much. I mean, I do like a little bit of, back and forth. But I could go with the good. I like the good better. I'm excited by the good.
Well, it depends
on
your
good. A lot of people
aren't.
Most people are not excited by the good.
But your good could be my what the fuck. So, one person's trash is another person's treasure. You know, so what I'm trying to say is that, yeah, I do agree with you, Mr. Solution, about Disney should not have stepped into a political hotbed, because I'm not going to say his name, the governor of Florida was sinking, and he needed an enemy. So he thought it was softball, excuse the pun, that let's go after the transgenders, let's go after the gays. It's a softball. It's like hanging fruit. Florida is a very conservative, you know Florida, you go there to die, very conservative state. Very red, very red.
And so, let me just say, look, Florida was too much of a beneficiary. They were too much of a recipient of the graces. And do you know what it would take? You couldn't get that kind. One couldn't, not even a company could get that kind of deal today. That was a true sweetheart deal. And it just amazes me at how dumb the Disney executives were to launch into this, because they were going in direct opposition to the people.
But you don't know who's on that. But you don't know who's on that panel.
But wait a minute. Let me just finish this statement. They were going direct opposition to the people that had been so gracious to them. That's why I say you don't kick the lion in the ass when you're eating at his table. Literally.
I agree with you, hon. I agree with you 100%. I do.
Crazy.
Agree with you 100%.
When I saw that, I went, what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, that leads to this story. So a lot of companies, you know, and Mr. Solution did say facts about percentage. I mean, percentage. I think we're overestimating how many people are transgenders.
Oh, we're outright lying about it. We're not just
overestimating. We're just outright lying. Right.
But I understand, you know, one has to puff up their numbers in order to gain more clout. So I understand that's a tactic.
Right. See, personally, you know, people have asked, am I going to tiptoe across this? Am I going to be a host that's going to try to satisfy everybody? I know better. Melissa and I had a talk and everything. Sometimes I have controversial things. She goes, well, you might lose some people. I said, you know, Melissa, I'm not for everyone. And I will not go on the air to try to please it, because I know I'm smart enough to know that I'm not going to please even the people who like me. I'm not going to please 100% of you. But I will state what I believe in, so you know where I'm coming from. And you can come on a show because you hate me. You can come on a show because you love me. I don't care. It's like a woman says, as long as you come and go. So what I'm going to say is...
I don't know which woman said that, but go on.
Yeah, a lot of them, ex-girlfriends.
But wait a minute. Let me say this. I have a little sidebar to this. Look, I don't mind a woman giving her pussy to whom she's giving it to, but I'm an avid opposer of subsidizing women. You know, when I go into a gender-neutral bathroom, I leave the lid up, right? And
you would.
Damn right. I used to help women.
Just because you're
vindictive. I was the kind of guy who would help women that I saw stranded. You know, obviously I would eye it, make sure it was safe, and it was during the daytime. But I would actually help women. I'm not kidding you. I would not do that anymore for anything. Let them call their sorry-ass boyfriend or AAA alternate or whatever. But, you know, women don't deserve the largesse of men today. Women have declared war on men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Women used to, in some sense. No. In the biggest sense, in the most palpable sense possible, women have aligned. See, it's all about allegiance and whom one has aligned themselves with. And so, women have aligned themselves with the government, wherein men pay taxes, and it's a leverage situation where they're using the government as a hammer over the heads of men. I think I told you about Kenny G petitioning the court to stop that $40,000 a month he's paying his sorry ass wife. Now, why would you be paying for pussy that you're no longer using? That's like a rental car company saying, yes, you rented our car one day. Yes, you still owe us, you know, pay. We still want pay even though you're not getting the benefits anymore. So women have become outrageous in America. And hold on, that's the reason I am for this transgendered woman competing against cisgender women or biological women, because I see the tyranny of biological women. Biological women are horrible. Now, they may not be the actual bomb or the explosive, but they are certainly the fuse, right? They are the detonator. They are the trigger. They are the conduit. So men who understand, such as myself, we understand that our biggest fight is against regular women. They get too many benefits, too many privileges. They're ungrateful. Most American women have been taught to be absolute bitches. And I'm not talking about a female dog. I'm talking about Webster's definition of a bitch, which is a spiteful, malicious, and domineering woman. That's what a bitch is. And American women is the bitch hotbed. Go ahead.
Single man you are, huh?
Well, see, now you're coming, your inner asshole is coming out. I can fuck basically any woman I want to.
Listen, okay.
It's not an issue, and I'm not calling you a dummy, but you said a thing that was very dumb. I'm going to grab your head. Hold on. I'm going to grab your head, and I'm going to pry your eyelids open, okay?
Easy.
So that you can see the world.
Homeless
men have women, and a lot of those women are new transitions. They just come because they didn't have the money, and you know a lot of women are getting put out of their domiciles. They're being kicked out because they can't pay the rent. By the way, the government caused this. The government caused this problem, this economic contraction. By the way, this was government instigated. But let me say this to you. There are women out there, and these women have no rights. If you think about a woman having no rights, you think about a woman who's homeless, out there in the dark, at night, with a bunch of drug addicts, okay?
Well,
and that's where a lot of American women are headed, because they don't have that $1.9 to $2.4 million to get them from aid.
There's always a man out there that will come to. There's always the white knight. Now, what I'm trying to say
of all, that's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie. And women who believe that are going to end up. Now, you know, I bike a lot, but anybody can see this. Just go to your nearest homeless shelter when you're driving by, and see how many women are there now. Women have not been a large percentage of the population of the homeless. That's changing, buddy. Go ahead.
I see an advantage of that because I think you should cruise a homeless women because you can get by on a date and all they want is a piece of bread and you don't have to take them out to a restaurant.
Well, if you can get them when they're just transitioning.
When they're just transitioning.
I hear you. That's just like
before
women in AA. Well, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're
right,
because that's when they're, you know, I've seen women that were average, that were fives, and that's what most women are, is average.
In
the homeless camp. So allow me to just complete the statement by saying, when somebody says that a man can't get a woman, that's a lie. There are plenty of women available. It's just the quality of women. Homeless guys have women. Homeless guys who have nothing but
games.
A basket.
Look at my box.
Junk to fill it in. They have girlfriends in those
right.
camps.
I'm well, you can live in your box and get their box. It's like eating out.
One second. The reason a lot of those homeless guys don't want to leave, now this is really interesting, is because they get their drugs, they get their women, they live the low life, high life. Okay?
Oh, don't tempt me.
They live the low life, high life. They
Love
live
them.
High on the hog.
Yeah.
In the lowest
you can feed them.
Echelon.
And when you're done
of
with them, you can feed them to the hogs. Yeah.
Yeah, so that, stop saying that a man can't get women. Only fool says that. That's a man
that's
who was just born.
But if you were
just born and you say that myself or any other man can't get a woman, okay, I accept that. If you were just born with
right.
the appearance of age, go ahead.
Even when I was just born, I was sucking on that tit.
Well, yeah, but that's an alternate issue.
Okay. Listen, but I do have to make this, and you're absolutely right on this. Men need to sign. See, this is why I was never trapped. When I was in, I don't want to encourage you, but I got to tell you because you bring up triggers. When I was in Hollywood, when I lived in Hollywood and I was doing films and everything, I had this beautiful townhouse, absolutely gorgeous townhouse. My bedroom was just huge. I had a water bed that had fur on it, stereo, whatever you want to do. We're walking down the street one time, we see these two girls. And then when I say girls, I'm saying girls, 14, 15, 16. I say 15. They come up to us, and it was me and my girlfriend, and here I am wearing Gucci glasses and fake Rolex watches, you know, we're easy mark. He come up to us and asked us for money. He said, we don't have any money, and I looked at them, and they had that innocence in their eyes, right? And I had this conflict in my head saying, oh, God, I wish I could help these girls. And then I made the mistake. And remember, they were like 15, 16. They were very attractive. And I said to them, I go, do you guys have a place to stay? They go, no, we don't. And I'm thinking that they were on the street. No, seriously, they're on the street. And I go, damn. I go, I'll tell you what. Once you stay with us for one night and you call your parents, whatever. And I was apprehensive because they were so 15, 16. You know what I'm saying? This is Hollywood Boulevard. You know what I'm saying? So they come there and they're, oh, beautiful place and everything. Of course, my girlfriend had her jewelry and everything. And they go, where do we sleep? So I say, okay, you'll sleep in my room. Beautiful room, you know, the fur water bed and whatever. And we fed them. And I go, okay, girls, you know, you got a roof over your head for one night. You're going to call your parents, you know, that kind of thing. Wake up in the morning. They had breakfast with us. They go, thank you for your hospitality. They left. And I'm thinking, oh, I feel so good about myself. What did I just do? I am a superhero. I feel really good. There's a place for me in heaven right there. I go in my bedroom and they rip me off. They rip me the fuck off. They took
but what
my
made
jewelry.
You guys so stupid? I mean,
exactly.
Did you not
they
watch
took,
them?
They took my watch. They took my jewelry.
Yeah, but I mean, why did that happen? I mean, you guys were just totally open to strangers.
We thought we were doing them. We'd run away, you know, runaways. They don't have anything on the thing. These poor little girls are going to blah, 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 horrible things, blah, blah. They probably
okay, Brian, look,
off.
This is the reason I tell men to work that 60 to 80 hours a week from 3 to 5 years, okay?
Right.
And if one divides life up into quarters, you know, first quarter, 25, 50, 75, on to 100. So men hit their stride in financial acumen at about 45 to 55. That's if one has laid a foundation, that's when the money starts rolling in. And whatever money is appropriate for them, it starts rolling in at that particular juncture. So women, if one goes to any major city, whether it's Vegas or Los Angeles or maybe Houston or Dallas, there are plenty of women, plenty, just hordes of women, if one cares for those ilks of women, that genre of women, right?
I'm an ilk hunter.
But see, you get robbed, you may get killed with other men they're dealing with. You may get caught up in a drug bust or a prostitution.
Oh, that happened. That happened.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm just making the point.
Yeah.
If one is able to sort of skim on the surface, you know, like some of those birds in the wild, they can, they have a super sensitivity to anything they touch in the water as they're skimming while they're flying. See, some people can do that. I'm not good at that, per se. I'm not that quick on my feet with nefarious people. So my point is this. There are hordes of women of all ages. For any man who has kept himself fairly well, who has a little bit of money, women are just, let me quote the statement I always quote. I say, a man will never lose, a man can lose a lot of money chasing women, but he'll never lose any women chasing money. So I just want to put to bed forever, he can't get women. Any man can get women.
Well, yeah.
On the spectrum from the homeless men all the way up.
You're right.
Any man can get women. I don't know why men say that. That is such a bitch oriented.
There's a lot of single autistic women out there. Yum, yum.
There are all kinds of women that are available.
Melissa, I'm throwing up in my mouth now, but I know. But here's the thing. But it did happen to me. I told that story. What you're saying, see, you're triggering this. You're like a therapist that's triggering really bad things that I bury behind my head that I never want to live again, and I'll die in my grave with them. But you're triggering these stories. I was a pimp one time. Yeah. I sang this on the air, and Melissa goes, whoa.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, well, you're not surprised. No, here's but
no,
I,
I'm
it
not,
was,
Brian.
It was no, 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 no,
no.
I
got to
explain this story.
Yeah, wait
I can't leave that headline out there. But what happened,
Brian?
Was,
before
was
you
a,
go on, I'm going to give
no,
you a
you're
foreshadowing.
You're going to let me leave that out there. What?
But a pimp is part woman, part man, and part devil or demon, right?
Well,
pimps
whatever.
Actually hate women, and I'm going to tell you why. Hold on.
I got to tell. Tell the story.
I'll just finish this up quickly then. Pimps hate women because they see the awesome power that women have over men, and pimps know that it's undeserved. So what pimps do is take it up on themselves to kind of right the situation as much as they can because they won't allow women to manipulate them. They manipulate women. Go ahead.
Well, I was a Gomer Pyle pimp. Like, well, golly.
First of all, is my scenario accurate?
This is completely accurate.
Okay.
We just got done with production. And one of the actresses was going to do a party, okay? She goes, would you like to go? I go, okay. Yeah. Went to her house, beautiful house, big house. People all around, blah, blah, blah. Beautiful girls, by the way. Corporate men there. I'm thinking they're investors, whatever. I go to the host, you know, and she goes, I go, nice party. You know, to me, it was a Hollywood party, right? It wasn't anything else. But that's all I knew. And she goes, thank you. She goes, Brian, can you do me a favor? I go, what? These four girls, swear to God, I'm going verbatim for verbatim. I am not exaggerating. And this is how stupid I was. She goes, Brian, these four girls need to ride home. They've been drinking. I go, oh, okay. I got a beautiful car. I go, okay. I'll give them a ride home. But first, and then she got called away before she finished the sentence. She was talking to this dude. Now, he wasn't your typical pimp. It was like a corporate dude, right? I'm thinking it's an investor or whatever. She comes back. She goes, before you drop them off home, they have to make a stop. Can you do a stop? I swear, I am not exaggerating this. I go, where is this? Well, the stop wasn't far. I go, okay, fine. Girls get in. They're, you know, very dressed sparkly, fine, short dress. You get the picture. And then one of the girls goes, oh, this is the house. I go, okay. And then she goes, can you wait for us? I go, yeah, I guess. What do you want to wait? Isn't this your house? She goes, yeah, but can you wait for us because we want to say goodbye to you? I go, okay. So I park there. They go in. 20 to 30 minutes later, they come running out. Their hair is messed up. And she said they get in, one girl gets in a passenger seat, and she's counting this money. And the bell's starting to go off like, what? And she goes, this is your share. And she hands me like $50, right? You know, they're ones and fives, whatever. And I go, what's this for? She goes, you're our daddy. I go, what are you talking about? You're a driver now. You are us. I go, are you kidding me? Is this what you did? Are you put me in, you know, I'm going off on this. You put me involved in this. I got to go, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the girl goes, what's the problem? She goes, okay. I said, I am not going to be part of this. I have a great name here. You bitches put me in this situation. She goes, okay, then let me have the money back. Are you kidding me, bitch? Let's go. So I'll get the fuck out of my car. $50. True story. True story. Absolutely true story. Men, you got to read, when you approach a woman and you're going to have a relationship, you got to read the pussy contract. And that's what gets you in trouble because of you're not reading the pussy contract. And the pussy contract says, and you got to read the fine print, it says that even if I leave your ass or if I have a kid by you, especially a kid by you, you are with me for the rest of your life or till that kid turns 18. Now, if you're involved with a woman that you don't want to be involved with, that she has signs of psychosis, which I love, I think it's cute, and this is not the woman that you want to have a baby with and be enthralled for 18 years with, don't do it. And the solution is right. There is women everywhere. There's not a shortage of women. There's a shortage of good women, but you got to weed through the weeds to find the flower. All right, I got to do this story.
And those flowers are virtually non-existent. Like women like, and I like praising women whenever possible, like women like Melissa. You know, Melissa, I have a special respect for who've been married and stay married because 70 to 80% of divorces are initiated by women. And when the women have a little bit of education, like college matriculation, or if they're college graduates, it moves up to 90% of divorces are filed by women. And the reason for that is women are incentivized and rewarded for doing this. But look here, I have a story. Let me see how I tell this. I worked in security years ago in a major port city, and it parallels slightly to what you were saying. And part of my duties were to now I was armed.
Sally,
had a weapon.
Sally, let's go. Sally, no, Sally. Sally.
Hello.
Sally, I'm sorry. Sally, let's go. Sally.
Yeah. And anyway, so these women. One of my duties were I was transporting people from the gate to where the seamen were. That's S-E-A, men. And I found out through hearing the women converse with each other that they were actually, working girls. And I quit once I found out who I was transporting because I didn't know that initially. So
right.
It sort of parallels there. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you, are you still there, Brian?
I'm here.
Yeah, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, and spins off from what you were just talking about, is the 18 years of obligation. Now, and this is a very direct question, how do male sex workers, and, you know, they explode in women, they come in the women, ejaculate in the women, but they are never, that I've ever heard, accused of child support or impregnating a woman.
Because
and I know some of those women must get impregnated.
Because it's an easy question to answer. It's a business. It's a business deal.
Okay, but go the long route in answering it for me because I'm kind of slow on these issues.
Yes. I will school you, my little Jedi. Well, you know, it's when you're in the sex trafficking business. First of all, it's criminal. Everything is criminal. You're breaking.
Well, I'm talking about the porn industry. I'm talking about the porn industry.
Oh, well, they sign a contract. It's a movie. It's a contract. And,
but wait a minute. Let me do a quick juxtaposition. The juxtaposition is like a man can sign the most ironclad prenuptial agreement. But children are outside of that prenuptial agreement
the way
criminal courts are run, criminal family court is run. So I'm saying, how is it, and please follow my line of thinking here, how is it that men who work in the pornographic industry are never sued for child support? Why is that?
First of all, I never worked in adult industry, number one.
But you understand my question.
I understand your question, and it's a good question, and because I don't think many people talk about that subject of I got pregnant during a movie shoot on a porn movie. I have never heard that interview, and I would love to hear that interview. I don't know. I'm thinking of any woman with any comment. I do know that they have to take their VD or their STD test before they do a movie, and they
right. I know that. I know that. They make sure they can't ensure that because if they have any sex outside of that on screen, but they do get regular checkups. But that's not what I'm inquiring regarding.
I know what you're inquiring, but I'm
question.
Thinking any woman with any common sense are not going to bear a child for Jeremy. What's his name? What's that porn star? Ron Jeremy. I think women will take care of themselves. They know it's a business. They don't want to get impregnated.
No. Bullshit. I'm going to throw up a huge... Shit, hold on. I'm going to throw up a huge bullshit flag. That's not it. That what you just said doesn't ring true. Because there are women out here having babies for men. Hold on. Listen. There are women who are having babies for men with 80 children. Okay. And Elon Musk, I think Elon Musk is a tragedy. He's just fucking all these women. He's just like Nick Cannon for the most part, and he's extremely reckless, but he just has a lot of money. I think he has like 10 kids with, what, 5, 6, 7 different women?
Does he really? I don't know that much about him. I don't know that much about
him. That's not my point. My point is, first of all, to say to you, what you just said is patently untrue. There are women out there having kids with men who are far less than Ron Jeremy, right?
Okay.
So, but my question still stands. Why is it that there is never a child support claim that I've ever heard of filed against male porn stars? Why is that? I think
again,
I know. But
I have never worked in adult industry, but I could only surmise by this. There are so many men that they do screw on air, I mean on a film thing. It's not uncommon. There was a friend of mine. We did a production. She wanted to get out of porn. I took her as I was her mentor. Her name was Jade East. She used to be very popular at one day. She's an Asian porn actress, but we became great friends. No sex involved. But I learned a lot from her. But all I can surmise is that there's so many men, I mean, so many movies that they do in a month. And when you get a porn actress, and don't think she's just a porn actress, and as we learned by Stormy Daniels, that they kind of go on their own way once in a while and hustle. Prostitution.
Right, okay, got it.
So it would be really hard to get the DNA.
Okay, let me stop you right there. No, it wouldn't. I'm going to cut you off there for a very valid reason. No, it wouldn't.
Okay.
Because you have far fewer male thespians in the porn industry than you do female thespians or actresses. And so it would be easy... just like they do on, if you've seen some of those Maury Povich movies, they would know approximately who the man was that they had coitus with.
And do they have the money for a lawyer?
Huh? Well, wait a minute. I'm debunking what you just said.
You can debunk all you want to. I'm just saying that normally, see, you're putting
them in a
box.
There are not that many men in the porn industry, Brian.
There's a lot of men
could.
In the porn industry, and it's not just the porn industry because you're putting them in a box. A lot of these porn actresses are prostitutes. They have side shit that goes on, whether they're walking
right,
the streets.
Right, but listen to what I'm
heroin.
Saying. There's never been one high-profile case where a porn actress has sued a male porn actress for child support.
True.
Why
I haven't heard
is
of any.
That? And these guys are coming in these women. Why
I
is
don't,
that?
I don't know.
I think I know,
I,
and I think you
okay,
know.
Okay, if
you,
you know, let's say, because I've got
to
get on with our story. If you know, go ahead. Tell me the solution. Go ahead. Tell me.
Well, I think it's because they, you know, they have very powerful First Amendment right attorneys. They have very powerful. The porn industry has exceedingly powerful attorneys.
Well,
and
there's different
I
aspects.
Think,
well, no, I think you're wrong there. At one time, there used to be three big companies, but it has dissolved when amateur porn took off. These companies have folded like an old deck of cards. Porn, I mean, everybody went online. Nobody watches Main Street porn anymore, like those movies. Those movies are gone in the 80s and the 90s. Now you got your short clips of 5 minutes of Pornhub. And even on Facebook. Even on Facebook.
Wait, Brian, you should do a show on this. This is I don't want to say this is more important than what you have scheduled. But what I'm saying is, look, there are women out there who, first of all, they may only have one or two sex sessions. What the porn industry has done is expanded their reach. So they're reaching out for new material, and they're getting women, and they pay these women pretty well. And what I'm saying is they are ejaculating in these women, and I have not heard of one single incident. These women that I'm talking about now are just regular women who answer ads for porn shoots, right? You know what
I'm talking about,
correct?
I'm sure it happens, and I'm sure that they get pregnant, and I'm sure that they keep the kid and don't tell the kid who the father is. I don't know the reasons. I don't know. I never heard those stories, and it's very interesting that I should research that having a child.
And they should
porn.
Be able to go after the company. You know how people go after deep
No. Why would you do that? They sign a disclaimer.
Well, because for the same reason that when a sexual harassment suit is filed, they go after the person with the deep pockets. After the company. They don't go after the man, per se.
Because it's almost you're responsible.
So it would be the same thing in the porn industry. But I think this is something. Look,
you're
I think
on
this
your own
cognizance.
Whatever happens, we're not responsible for damages and blah, 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 blah. They know the deal.
They can say that. But see, I think this is exceedingly interesting because at a certain juncture, this madness stops. And I think the porn industry has found a way to stop it. Just like there was never an accusation against Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner was using drugs. I think they had a famous statement, Spanish flies open thighs. If Bill Cosby did that, he got it from Hugh Hefner.
Well, we're not going to go on allegations about that. But I got to do the story. But you are right.
You're scared of that,
would
right?
That would be one interesting topic.
He's dead now. He can't fight. He can't. He can't sue you, Brian. He's dead.
I don't know. The ghost of Hefner is very strong where I am, my friend. All right. Listen. breaking.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, Brian.
The breaking. There you go. You're singing my praises. I wanted to talk. There's a show on TLC called My 600-Pound Life. These are women who weigh 600 pounds and over. I was going
to
play that.
Find a way to sneak that in as a show.
I was going to, but now we're out of time because I was going to talk
about it. I know you're
creative,
so find a way. Hey, Brian, that's a disgusting subject, by the way, to talk about 600-pound women that you have to wheel out on a gurney or
It's
come on.
I didn't think a woman on this world weighs 600 pounds. Melissa, please chime in.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that Melissa weighs 600 pounds. I'm saying that Melissa knows the story.
No.
I
watch a couple of people on YouTube that are eaters, and they have these people that watch them that are, they call them feeders.
Yeah.
You got to see the food they eat. Oh, sorry.
Brian, had you finished, Melissa?
I saw a girl yesterday literally drinking donuts. She had a bag of Hostess, you know, the little mini donuts. And she opened it up and was like just, you know, letting them fall into her mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's
I can't watch someone self-destruct that way.
There
was
really
one woman whose ass grew around the toilet seat. And see, you have to look at the people who enable them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are as sick as the person who is being enabled. So that is just, for me, that is an easy conclusion to reach. You have a circle of sickos, right? Because why would you feed a person to their death? That is just crazy.
Well, you know, I'm on this thing, and Melissa, I want to hear you, but I'm just saying, we're running out of. Well, I gotta play this. This news, news
it's
just came in.
Kiddo? It's a fetish for some people.
But it's just. Well, God, I got so much to do, and we got so.
Hey, you mean
time.
Like a sexual? I mean, that's
yours. Yes.
Yes.
Lick my fat toe. I just said about I didn't finish the statement with the transgender. So companies are trying to be woke, and I hate to use the word woke. There's no such thing as woke. I hate that word. I really hate that fucking word. Mm-hmm. But companies are trying to oblige. I like the word obliged. Companies are trying to oblige people of all shape and recognize and get new audience. See, you know what companies try to do. If you look at the Super Bowl commercials, they're always on the fringe. You know, they're doing something different. They're hitting that wow nerve. Well, Anheuser-Busch loses. Here's the headline. Anheuser-Busch loses billions of dollars following partnership with trans influencer.
Mm.
Oh, when they had the transgender woman?
Well, I don't know, but here's the story. It's just listen to it, because it just came on the wire.
I think it's a man that dresses as a woman.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That's a trans cross-dresser, maybe.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Some of the comments are like this. Here's some of the comments. This is from Scott. Before I play it, Scott says. This is he's typing in caps. So this is exactly what happens when you cater to the 1% of the country. How stupid can executives be? That's Scott.
Right.
This guy's name is Dustin Hans, the German guy. The idea that a LGBT rights are under attack or even trans rights are under attack is ridiculous. The only things under attack are children, parents, and women. That's what Hans says. Now, this guy's name is Neil Moore. He says this, and he makes up a word, transphobic. But here we go. I take insults being called transphobic. Never heard of the word. I guess they make up their own. Now we got to get the transgender dictionary, but let's go with it. Transphobic. I see. I know where you're going. He says, I take insults to being called transphobic. And cis, male, I don't appreciate being labeled of a sudden by a group of people who need psychiatrist help. I am male, born and raised. I do not have a fear of people who pretend to be another gender than they were born as. See, those are the guys that we don't like. You know, these are the white knights. You know, I'm male. I like when I'm male, but don't pick on the transgenders. Oh, Bonanza. Remember Bonanza song? Oh, God, I can't remember the Bonanza theme. I like it. Oh, God.
Oh, that's
okay.
Funny.
Well, that's
close enough.
We get it.
Yeah, here's another person from BLM. BLM stands for Black Large Male. No, Black Lives Matter. That was just me. Proof that knowing
your
customer.
Let me ask you this, Brian. Some people use that word woke. I haven't been motivated to look it up. So is that sort of some tense of awake?
No. Here's how it started.
What is that acronym?
I'll tell you so you can do the research. Some woman wrote a song called Woke. She wrote a song. It's the worst song I ever heard in my life. The worst song I ever heard. And the song is about basically, okay, I'm aware of you and I'm woke and all that. So they took the song and some person decided to make it a thing. And says, because they heard the song, then they go, okay, I'm woke now. And then it caught on and went viral. That's what it came from. It came from a song. That's it.
So it is, okay, so it is a tensed word referring to awake, I think. Okay.
I don't even think it was a word.
Like a spiritual awakening.
Yes.
Right.
Okay,
that's what I thought it probably meant, but I never had been motivated to research it. Go on, Brian. You were talking
the
about...
The last one.
Look, I'm totally for transgender women... Yes, for transgender women, I just want to get it correctly, competing against biological women because biological women are tyrannical.
Okay. Wait, is this Laverne, 912? Is this Laverne?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Wow, Laverne,
hello,
you're bringing
Laverne.
In the people. 905 is coming in the studio. Good morning, Laverne, Vernie. Everybody.
Hello,
everybody.
Melissa, Mr. Solution.
Laverne.
Yeah, hello, Laverne.
She's
only people that have the balls to stand up to the tyranny of biological women, and I'm a conservative. I totally
agree. Wait, hold on,
mind.
Mr. Solution. Hold your thought. 905, you're live on the Brian the Hammer Jackson show with Laverne, Mr. Solution, and Melissa. 905, you're live.
Hi, everybody. It's Patty.
Hello.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, it's Guess the Celebrity. Don't say anything. Let's see if we know who she is.
Is this the Canadian lady back?
Well, I don't know. You could ask the question. Are you from Canada, lady?
Of course.
Of course.
Wow,
okay.
I'm so glad
wow,
she came
okay,
back.
Okay, Melissa, your guess, your question to the mystery lady.
I don't have one. Go ahead, LeBron.
Good one. Okay, Laverne, your guess. Your guess to the mystery lady.
Mystery lady, do you consume cannabis?
Of course.
Yes! Yes!
Lots and
yes!
Lots.
Yes, good one. It is what? 420, Dave. It is 420.
It is 420, yes, and I haven't
mystery
done it yet,
woman?
But I'm about to.
I'm
just letting my guard down now. This lady is no longer a mystery. Now, my question is, were you offended at the atmosphere of the conversation about a week ago? Were you offended at what was
about
being
which?
Said? There was some speculation is the reason I'm inquiring.
I don't think I get offended about anything.
Offended. We were all wrong. Go ahead.
The mystery lady, are you Pat Overland, the famous
Pat.
Psychic?
Yes, I am.
Yes, she is. Laverne got the question in there, and we knew it. We targeted you.
Pat
How
is
doing,
more
Pat?
Bold than I am if she's a 420 regular. I guess that's the way one would say that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the 420 Expo this weekend, working a booth with selling seeds.
If you do that, you don't even have to light up.
Oh, well, I got it. I have to be there at 5 o'clock a.m. for the wake and bake.
Right.
We don't open till 10.
We
I never really understood. I never understood a healthy person ingesting smoke into the or introducing smoke into their lungs.
It's not vapor. It's not smoke. It's vapor. And you do that by heating up the leaves in a container on top of the vaporizer, and it blows the hot air through the leaves and takes out the oil, and you're breathing in the oil. But it looks a bit like Pam, I've got to warn you, but it is a healthy thing to do. It's very good.
You know, it smells better than traditional tobacco smoke. And I tell you, I frequent college campuses, university campuses, and also parks. And let me just tell you, in most parks, or a lot of parks throughout America, the aroma is quite prevalent.
Yeah, but that's in the parks. You know, you can more or less get away with it. I vaporize because it smells better than burning it, for God's sakes. That smells like a dead skunk. But, you know, I don't know. Some of the stuff I get is pretty whiffy. So when you do a vaporizer, it doesn't smell near as bad.
Right, right. Well, I don't imbibe. I understood, who was it, Bill Clinton, when he said he didn't inhale? So,
baloney.
I do recognize its medicinal value.
Yeah.
It is a miracle drug, just the hemp rope. I'm impressed by the rope that is made from the hemp
clothing,
plant.
Everything. You can do so much with it.
It makes Levi Strauss pants look like tissue paper.
Yep.
Well, I'm impressed by the little song, a little ditty that Pat sings when she smokes. This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to
Pat,
say,
how much is your habit worth, if I may inquire?
Wait, let me ask.
What?
When Laverne comes into the studio, there's a reason. It's very rare because she's very busy. I'm still jealous about the crab. Laverne told me that she was going to have some crab. And after we hung up the phone, I went in and I said to Cindy, I'm going, Laverne's having crab. Cindy goes, she's having crab. I go, she's having crab. And she knows what a fan it is, because when you have a crab bake, I mean, it's a party in itself. And I was so jealous. We're talking about how expensive it is and this, and I haven't had crab, and I don't know when, but it was just salivating. I thought about it all night. I'm still thinking about it today. Laverne, how did it go? How did the crab go?
Well, they were very good. They still wasn't as large as I would like them to have been. But they still was pretty good.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Did you have a hammer?
I wanted to add something to what Mr. Solution asked you about awake, being awake. You know, what does that mean for some people, the term that's used? I wanted to add to and said, Mr. Solution, in spirituality, we are saying that a person is awake or awakened or woke when they begin to realize there is more to the world or to life than just what you see, what you feel, what you taste, and what you hear.
That's a different explanation from the general meaning of woke.
What meaning do you have for it?
Well, it's a lot of people making issues about things that have been existent for years, from what I understand.
Okay. But like you said, Mr. Solution, look it up, because I'm sure that people are using that word for many different
meanings.
Right.
Well, you know, usually up here we say born again when you get back involved with the church or a higher level of Christ or whatever. That's called born again here.
Right.
Yeah,
We're speaking outside of that. We're speaking not being, it's not a religion a religious person that would use that term awoke. It's the spiritual, the ones that's outside of religion. They don't claim no religion at all. But they believe in. Huh?
Civil justice implication.
No. What I would say is, how about this word, Laverne? Enlightening. You enlighten the
person. No. Listen, Brian, I think when it's used, the latest version or resurrection of the word is used for some sort of civil justice implication.
I'm talking about only dealing with spirituality. Brian is correct.
That's incorrect, because there are other words that would be utilized, like spirit-filled or enlightened or something of
that
nature.
That's what Brian said, enlightenment.
Yeah, but it's when they use the word woke in the media currently.
They don't mean that.
Right, they don't mean that.
Okay, let me say this. Like I said, of course, by all means, look it up. But I'm spiritual, okay? I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. And in my practices and studies we use awoke, enlightenment, and awaken.
Mm-hmm. If you do a word study, now one can do whatever they choose, Laverne, but I'm going to say people who often say that they're not religious but they're spiritual, they are really corrupting the word, because the word religious encompasses spirituality. Now, there are
not all spirituality.
There are accoutrements such as rituals. And I think usually when people say they're spiritual and not religious, they're attempting to bifurcate and leave out the ritualistic aspects. But when one is religious, by definition, there is a spiritual component to that, absolutely.
Okay, see, most people that's religious, they deal with the flesh and they speak of the spirit. But I come out right and tell you, I am a spiritual being having a human experience. So my spirituality comes first. Then the human experience come along with being the spirit that's within.
Right, that's fine. I mean, that's admirable.
Okay.
I'm religious and spiritual.
Friend.
Because both go together. They really go together. Now, again, by having said that, now I listen to Catholic radio every day, virtually, and I learn a lot from it. But I'm not a Roman Catholic, but it is attractive just from a fleshly standpoint, because there is so much of heathen practices woven into the Roman Catholic paradigm. But I would say that, there is an appeal there. Now, I would say that is greatly religious. I would say the Roman Catholic practices are greatly religious. But, there's some spirituality certainly woven in there also, and spirituality is a good thing, because that's thinking above just the flesh. And I think when we appeal to God or appeal to rights, period, those things are spiritual in nature.
Oh boy.
Okay.
See, my spirituality has absolutely nothing to do with dogma or religion.
Oh, I would contest that strongly.
Yeah, but then I'm a psychic, hon.
I'm with you,
a psychic.
I'm with you, Pat.
Yeah, but all of it has to have a base in reality, which is going to deal with the...
I didn't say I didn't believe in God. I said I don't believe in religion.
Right.
I don't believe in man-made religion.
Look up the definition of religion in a good lexicon, and you'll see that what I'm saying is accurate, is that, you know, spirituality encompasses the physical. In fact, truth is spiritual. By definition, truth is spiritual.
Of course.
Okay, so truth is reality, what is accurate as opposed to what is false.
Well, you know, there are some people, and
wait,
I'm going
to
use this word, and it's not even a word.
Just for a moment.
It's not even a word. But I'm going to use
truth
the word.
Truth is anchored in the physical because what is true can be... Okay, let me just say it this way. Science is a branch. Science branched off from philosophy and theology. It was just a specialized area of observation, repeatability, and that sort of thing. So in spirituality... is definitely governed by truth. You know, Jesus Christ said he was the way, the truth, and the life, right? The way, the truth, and the life. So truth
is right there
in that triad.
But Jesus Christ also said, ow, that nail hurts. Okay, forget that.
Oh, shut up. Brian, look.
Brian, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. I want to go back to Laverne.
Brian, I'm going to come for you if you're not careful.
You stop that. But I'm going back to Laverne. You know, I'm going to use the word organized religion, which is political. And when people say that I'm not religious, I can understand what they're saying. You know, the organized religion and it's very political. At one time, the Catholic religion was so powerful that the leaders of the world will make a deal with the Catholic religion. But I'm not going to go down that wormhole. But I understand that you can reach enlightenment and spirituality without actually believing in the concept of the organized religion or the book of the Bible. As I call it spiritual awakening, and I do believe what Laverne is saying is true. And Pat,
well, the first half of what
people
you said
can
is
reach
true.
Spirituality.
The second half is not true. Because, see,
I
that would
know.
Mean that you're ignorant of the development of Western
no.
culture.
It does not.
Well,
it means that you
Western
are not.
Western culture is permeated with biblical principles from the 12 jurors that sit on a jury all the way to the founding of this country. The Declaration of Independence is shot through with biblical mandates.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, with biblical concepts.
We are endowed by our
Creator with certain inalienable rights. And the way the thing was posited or situated is that government should not control religion, but not that people in government should not be religious, particularly the Judeo-Christian religion.
But going back to Laverne and Pat, the Pope, the nowadays Pope, he's changing the way religion is. And the Pope is now saying, you know what, I'm having second thoughts, priests can marry. Look it up. I'm not making this up.
Okay, but the Eastern Orthodox don't follow that. And by
Roman Catholicism, give me a minute. I had an executive producer. Yes, Laverne. You don't get to talk.
No,
sorry,
I was saying I wanted to hear Mr. Solution was talking over you.
Oh, okay. I had a person in the room. She was my executive producer, God rest her soul, Diane Dillon, very religious Catholic girl. The Catholic religion turned her down and shut the doors on her because she got a divorce from her first husband. Cindy had the same problem. So the Pope is trying to evolve and put the masses together. The new Pope, the latest Pope, is saying, we're not doing that anymore. Now, who gave you the right? Wait a minute, for centuries and years and hundreds of years and everything, theology and whatever, they're saying this is what it is, and all of a sudden you say, well, you know what? We're going to let you in even if you are divorced. Who? I mean, now it questions, wait a minute, it questions all what you believe in.
You know
in.
Why? It's hitting their bottom line.
Well, yeah,
it is.
But that almost revealed that he is kind of, we need more people. We're losing people from the Catholic Church. How do we get more people? Okay, these are the stuff. So if you are compromising your belief to get more, to get this, what makes, how do you feel credible? Because now he's saying that you could get married. He's like, what?
Right. But Brian, you're skewing the argument, if I may. You've got to go back to the Protestant Reformation. Realize there was a protesting of Catholicism because the Roman Catholic Church was primarily political. That's what it's all about. That's what the Vatican
is. It was based on political. Yes.
Huh?
They were so powerful that they wrote laws for other countries. They needed leaders of the free world needed the Pope.
Okay,
Biden's the same way.
I took this in university, okay?
Yeah, Biden's
the
same way.
You guys are all fighting about something silly here. This started with the Catholic Church back in the darn 500s or 600s.
Yeah.
It got really out of control in the 1200s and the 1400s.
This solution was only a baby then. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. You see, Brian, you've got to incorporate the Protestant Reformation. The Catholic Church, due to its indulgences and abuses, that's the reason Martin Luther and I think he spearheaded the Reformation.
He did.
He protested the abuses and excesses of the Roman Catholic Church. And it broke
that's
off.
Why
that's
why
we talk about the Judeo-Christian not the Roman
Catholic. We're getting off the subject here, and Laverne is asking. We can talk.
Yeah.
I only got 30 minutes left, and I didn't even get our subject.
I
do believe what Laverne is saying. It's not because I like Laverne, and I really do love her. It's because she makes a good point.
That's the essence of the argument, though.
I'll tell you why Laverne is really special, because Laverne is not my target audience. Because Laverne is spiritual. She's deep. She got a really dark sense of humor. Once in a while, you'll hear her laugh, especially when bad things happen to me. It makes her giddy. But when she has something to say, and for her to come on this show and stay here for such a long period of time is a compliment to me. Because I don't think she's the type of person that goes on Blog Talk and talks. She may go there or she may cruise shows, but she'll listen. But I don't think she's a talker.
But it is good to hear what she has to say so that we can analyze it and benefit from it.
When she does come in and she does have something to say, I do listen, and it's a compliment to me. Is that fair, Laverne? What I just said, is that fair?
Sure, thank you.
I appreciate what she's saying too, and I think it does have to be analyzed. Because none of us are an island unto ourselves. And since she introduced it, I wanted to make sure.
But I hear what you're saying. She does have. She has said things to me over the years. We are friends. That I'm saying, what? And then I have to think about it and say, okay, there's a foundation. Okay, I see where this is going. I'll use the word enlightened. She has enlightened me over the years. I'll say that. And I'm not 100%. She doesn't enlighten me 100% because nobody's 100%. Like, I don't enlighten her 100%. But she does make you think, and I'm not going to put Laverne as some kind of holy, you know, person. I'm putting her as a person that just says, you know what, you bring up an idea that most people are not thinking about, or you bring up something, a subject that most people say, huh. And it's like on the other side. So when she says she's spiritual, but she's not religion.
Brian, she is holy, though. Holy just means set apart. And her spirituality will set her apart from the carnality. Okay, let me give you a quick example.
I don't know
like
if she
you,
wants to have that
no,
kind
no,
of.
No, 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 no.
Like
let's
you in your
talk.
Early days. You were totally given to carnality, okay? You were not spiritual.
There's no such word as carnality.
Really, you were not
stop making up words.
You were just like an animal.
Yes,
I was a carnal
of knowledge.
Hey, wait a minute, let me just finish the thought. You were like an animal searching for stimuli or more stimuli.
Thank you. I put that in my. You know, this is the worst PR person I ever hired. Stop it.
Oh, hold on. A person like Laverne would have said no. Suppress your carnal appetite and
I disagree.
Do better.
I think a person like Laverne would be my friend, but she would never indulge me into meeting her family. No, I don't think so. I draw the line.
Brian, she wouldn't participate in what you were doing, nor would I have
true.
Done that.
That's true.
Yeah,
but
I would not have
would
done
not,
that either.
But
I would have been your 22. Friend from a distance.
You would
I
not be
my
You would have coffee and you would have a coffee
like
and a bagel with me.
It's a bad person you have to come in and take care of and say, what are you doing?
Right.
I did it this morning. Hey.
Wait,
she did. She did. What are you doing? She did.
People like Brian are good because one could always point, now I'm not saying presently, Brian, but one could always point to your past and point to an up-and-coming person is saying, let's use Brian as an example of what not to do. You were a good example of what one shouldn't do.
Oh, you
flatter me. Would
you
agree with that, Brian? Do you? I'm
you
not saying that just for a joke, even though it does have a little
this,
humor in it.
I'll say this to you. I'll say this to you. I'm a great lover, but the worst boyfriend you ever want to have. But I'm a fun guy.
You said that you were a demon, and I believe it.
Oh, I was. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to justify my actions, but I was a fun guy. I'm a guy that's like, what? Are you serious? If there was a group of us, it's like, let Brian do it.
Let me say this. Yeah. Now, I don't know if Laverne necessarily likes my delivery. It works like hell for me. I mean, it works like heaven for me. I meant that in the affirmative. But Laverne and I probably agree a whole lot more than she does with you, Brian.
Probably.
She would probably agree. She may have adapted to your style more, and she likes your antics more. But in essence, she would agree with the principle and practices that I promote much more so than she would yours. And
no,
I think
my shenanigans,
gets
on Laverne's nerve, her last nerve. Listen, there was a good topic.
You're a likable person. You're a likable
right,
nerve
Laverne.
Scraper. Let's put it that way.
No, because she just gets to the point.
I could learn something from the both of you.
I learn a lot from Brian, mostly what not to do.
But see, with people that you might be jokingly saying that Brian is, when I'm in front of them having a conversation, if things come up that make me my head shake, what I do is go within myself and say, now, why did he make me irritated? Or why did I get mad? Why did he make me cry? I seek that within myself because once I seek and find out why I reacted or felt the way that I felt, then that would change my perception of when I get back into Brian's company. Because that wouldn't be done anymore.
Well, I say this a little bit. I'm sorry, had you finished? I say this a little bit jokingly, but Brian is kind of my ace in the hole against God, you know? Satan argues with God. Abraham, who was God's friend, argued with God. And so I can say to God, if you let Brian get away with that, you certainly have to cut me some slack. Sort of.
Good point. Because I heard the Pope, you know, the Vatican, they're building a mall. You know, a real mall. And I found out the reason behind it is because they hurt, you know, you build a mall, little boys' pants are half off. There you go.
What? He did one of his terrible jokes. Just ignore it.
The malls have sales at shops, and they have sales, so little boys' pants are half off when you have a sale.
Just,
all right.
Disregard that.
All
but
right.
Let me say this. See, let me just say this. Brian, this is why I'm glad I'm here to at least address them. See, Brian is brilliant, but he's brilliant in a twisted way. See, Brian knows a little bit about a lot of subjects.
I don't mind mine like that. Just leave mine closed.
Roman Catholicism was not the direction that the founders of this country took. They took the Protestant direction. If there's a fork in the road, and there was, they took the Protestant, not the Roman Catholic. Now, Roman Catholicism was totally ensconced. They were definitely in vogue at that particular time. But they chose to go the Judeo-Christian route, not the Roman Catholic route. Because
okay.
The Roman Catholic route was strewn with heathenism. Because
very
the
good.
Roman
I got
Catholic
it. I
Church
got it.
Adopted
yeah.
all the pagan cultures and practices. Go ahead, Brian.
I got to get to the main story. There's two people that says, well, what about the story? Okay, listen, I got to do it briefly because
right.
I only got 28 minutes. There was the headline that I put on the Today Show said Biden signs executive order legalizing incest across the country. We're talking about incest here. Here's a real story, okay? Now, this was reported by a blog, maybe, called the International Business Times. And 420.
Is there a fire?
No, that's not for taking in the 420.
That was my bag.
Smoke on, baby.
Hey, let me ask Pat. Pat, do you smoke that for medicinal purposes or just for recreational purposes?
Mostly my health, but excuse me. Mostly my health, but I really enjoy it.
She didn't start smoking until she listened to the show. Here we go. Here we go.
I think that's a lie, by the way. That's a falsity.
Okay.
What?
Well, here we go. Here's the headline.
Yeah.
I have to do the subject or else people are going to get pissed at me. Is it true or not that Biden signed an executive order legalizing incest across the country? Here's the truth behind the shocking comedy. It was
let's
an NBC
take
report.
A vote. Let us take a vote. Please let us take a vote.
Huh, kiddo?
Let us take a vote.
Oh, take a vote
is
about
it,
what?
If we believe this. Yeah,
okay.
If we believe
okay.
this.
Okay.
I believe
okay.
it.
Okay. We got a yes from Pat. Melissa?
No.
You got a no from Melissa, Mr. The lovely Laverne?
I don't know if they're gonna use that word, but I do believe that they want to. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
Answer,
hey, look
yes
up the
no.
man boy, the North American Man Boy Love Association.
NAMBLA.
Oh,
well,
NAMBLA. Okay, so we got Laverne on the fence. We're going to come back to Laverne. But remember what the headline says. He signed an executive order, meaning made law. So remember. Okay. Mr. Solution, do you believe it was true or not?
Well, no, not the way you said it, no.
Okay, all right, here's the thing. So we got one yes from Pat, I think. Was Pat said yes? Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm in Canada, so you know.
Okay. I don't know what's going on there. Okay.
Would you know
and
what
I'm going to go ahead and say no, too.
You're
going to
say
but
no?
I'm going to say no. Yes.
Okay, I'm with you. Okay, we got a lot of no's. Pat's the only one's yes. Here we go. It was a social media post. That's what it was.
Yep.
It was a social media
I think
post.
It originated yeah. from Singapore, right? Was it Singapore?
Oh, did it really? Yeah. Singapore. He did not put in an executive order to legalize incest. what did this say? President Biden has signed dozens of executive orders since assuming office in January 20th, including executive actions that reversed the policies by former Trump. Nope, he did not do it, ladies and gentlemen. It was Melissa, would you like to elaborate on it? And since you did some research,
it's not true. What I read, like I said, it originated in Singapore. That was the original source.
You know the reason I thought it might be possible is
why?
Because we have so many different nations here that intermarry family that they could possibly start a fuss with Ottawa about it.
Wow.
You know what
wow.
I mean?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Because it's different culture, it's different religion, it's different everything. We're not ruled by the church like the States.
Sure.
We're not
the church has
to be
nothing
ruled
to do
by
with
the church,
us.
But it steps into it, as we all know.
It's involved. It's involved.
I know that. I get it. I understand all of it. And it was Jerry Falwell that got himself into it, if anybody remembers that. I did a little research one day. And, yeah. But Trump was all in that, too. He was down there with the Holy Rollers. And so that's how they're in the government. They've infiltrated into it. And it's pretty disgusting. There's supposed to be a separation of church and state, right?
Yes, there should be. There should
mm-hmm.
always be.
There's supposed to be, but it's too powerful.
No, that's not true, ladies and gentlemen.
Go ahead.
That was written, alluded to in the Federalist Papers. The Constitution is what we should go with. The founders of religion, the founders of the United States, some of them were deists, but a deist is a theist. A deist is a theist. You have a lot of atheists attempting to contradict the two. Yeah,
right.
A deist is a theist. The only difference is a deist says that God is not active in the creation. God kind of wound up the world and walked away. But the First Amendment right.
I believe that. That resonates.
Excuse me?
I believe that.
Yeah, and so it wasn't that, okay, this is the way it should have gone or should go, is that religion should influence politics, but politics should not control religion. For example, if a president ran on an atheist platform, America is religious enough to say no. They would not accept someone who denied God's existence. So America is a culturally rich country that believes
okay,
in God. Most
okay?
Americans,
yeah, I'll be okay.
Even Brian believes in God. He plays around.
Yes, I do.
But
I do
he
believe
knows
in
that
God
exists.
Yes,
now,
I do, and I think he has a great sense of humor.
But
that's why I'm still here. I believe God has a great sense of humor. I really do. I really do.
That's right. Oh, and by the way, in the Declaration of Independence, and I encourage you guys to read that, that's the foundation of the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And in there,
we had
it
read to us about a month ago or 2 months
ago. I'm sorry, say that again?
We had it read to us a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it talks about the Creator, and we know that
is I know, in God we trust
God.
And all that stuff.
That's the founders are referencing.
That's true. We got 14
minutes.
Yeah, but
why
minutes.
Is that
only,
even in there?
We only have
it's
14
in, okay,
minutes.
Okay, that's a good question. Let me explain this to Pat. Just
okay, let me
Brian.
Let
May
me tell you why you explained, though. We got 14 minutes. There's two stories
okay.
that I'd like to leave you with.
Okay,
I'm running out of time, but go ahead, Mr. Solution.
They were under dire stress because England was really putting the pressure, governmental pressure. So what they had to do was appeal to a higher power than just man. Because if it's only man, then there's no appeal. You either win or you submit. So what the Founding Fathers did is appeal to a higher power that was over all men. and they appealed to the creator, okay? That's the
Let me correct your thing. There's no longer founding fathers. They're called framers. All right, listen, we got two stories here.
Synonymous terms,
yes.
Buddy.
Yeah,
exactly. I agree, and we can have a whole show on that ridiculous thing. Okay, you know why we're changing it to framework, but we got two stories.
Wait a
minute.
The reason your butt is enjoying the liberty that you are is because of those brave men.
Why did we change it from the founding fathers for all these years to the framers? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say the hypocrisy.
But it means the same thing. Synonyms are words that spell differently,
but have
the same meaning.
Because it's gender friendly. Because they're going to say mothers Okay.
That's just like if I would change it from manhole to personhole. You still have son. You still have the male expression in person.
I'm just saying that we're changing history with our stupid politeness, and I'm offended because you're saying father, you know, founding fathers, which means male. Let's change it.
All right,
let me just say this, Brian.
When women have to bear the full burden of their equality, they won't have a problem with it. And there are a lot of women today who are totally supported by men, and they don't have a problem with it.
There's a lot of men supported by men. There's a lot of men supported by women.
Oh, yeah, but that's a recent thing.
But the overall thing is
that men produce the society that we live and enjoy.
Okay, I got to get to this story or it's going to be gone any longer. I got to say goodbye. Here we go. Make your choices. Here's the choices. I have a friend. When he reaches over the age of 45, and this is all true, and not just him, but another male, because I had to check this out because you know what I do. I do like to do investigations. I was going to do a show. Now, my friend says that over 45, that urologist?
It was a proctologist.
Huh?
What is it referring to?
Well, he's saying that his, let's just call it urologist, but he's saying that his urologist is encouraging him to masturbate.
What's wrong with that?
Melissa also brought that up. Yeah, but I did check with a guy too. But Melissa, you probably were the first one to say that.
Use it or lose it.
That's true. Now there are 6 myths about that. Now we can go over that, or there's another one that's very controversial that I really want to talk about. It's probably a full show. Because I like to ask you that question. And the second is the age of consent. And I want to bring up something that's very, very weird. So,
that changes from state to state, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
Emancipation. If a person is emancipated at the age of 16, I was hearing
something about age of 12, though.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, which one? We got 9 minutes. Which one do you guys want to talk about?
Age. There's no 12-year-old states here. No. You know, we have become so demonized in this country. We really have been. The people that don't live here don't know. They think we're just like gun-toting perverts that, you know, it's really weird.
I'll tell you what, in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders says that post-pubescence is not child abuse. It's not, what's that word for a pedophilia?
Right.
But they do say they don't contradict the going laws are. But if a person is past puberty, that is, they are in a reproductive, they have reproductive capability. It is
not
considered
pedophilia. Well, I guess you guys chose the age. Right. I guess you guys chose the age of consent just for time's sake here. And I bring a very interesting question here. And for people who don't know what age of consent, and it does, in the United States, it does vary state to state. Most of it, the average person in the state, I think it's 16. I think it's 16.
Oh, my goodness,
but,
really?
I'm not going to go down I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But here we go. The
and
age
in
of
the
consent,
world, Brian, state this, in the world, it's
in the world,
lower.
It's different.
Yeah,
but
it's
Pat has a thing, and I think I read, Pat does have a thing, I think I read in Thailand or Hong Kong, it can go to 13. But I would have to do the research on that to bring that over the air. All right, but here in the United States, age of consent is the age at which an individual is deemed legally competent to consent to engage in sexual activities. Now, that line is very important for us to have a discussion. Again, the age of consent is the age at which an individual is deemed legally competent to consent to engage in sexual activities. The minimum age is by state. And having sex with someone under the age of consent is considered to be a criminal act. Okay. Now, I think in California, for the type of conversation, what is age of consent? I think let's just go 16. That's just for that, okay?
And most states is 18.
No, not of age of consent, because 18, you're automatically adult in the United States, but the age of
in
consent.
In most states, it is 18.
Oh, okay.
The age
okay.
of consent.
I think Florida is lower, to tell you the truth. I don't know what the age of consent is in Florida, but I'm hearing I think it's lower.
The contradiction is that most DAs will not prosecute young people who are below the age of consent for engaging in sexual activity. And they should.
You know where I'm
they
going.
Should, because if they are below the age of consent, both, they are guilty of having broken the law. But usually DAs will not prosecute.
Now, this don't get confused. Now, this is really confusing. I'm going to probably need Melissa in this, Laverne, and everybody into this. Now, there could be a kid. It happens in the industry all the time, the entertainment industry, where a girl, well, what do they do from their parents? They want to be, I forgot the word, that they go to court.
Emancipation.
There you go. Thank you. Emancipation. Thank you, Mr. Solution.
Well, wait a minute. Before that's approved, a judge has a young person who wants to be emancipated has to go before a judge and prove that they
right.
are autonomous, that they are self-sufficient
right.
to the real world.
Right. Okay. So what I'm trying to say, so now we're dealing with emancipation. Stay with me. And now we're dealing with the age of consent. Stay right there. Now, let's say somebody got emancipated. And she's 16, 17 maybe even 15. You know, she's making millions of dollars in the industry as a musician or an actress. And then she decides to go out with a guy who's 2 years old.
Right. That's legal.
Is that wrong? Is that wrong?
No,
I go to
no that's legal because
well,
emancipation
I know, but
is
you,
the
we
exception.
Don't, we're not at the court. We're not in the court.
No,
we're
no, listen. Emancipation is the exception to the age of consent.
I see. I understand. But I'm saying that if we're seeing that visually into our Kroger store or Walmart, and we're seeing this guy, you know, with his tongue into this 15-year-old girl's mouth, she would have to bring up
what's
the papers.
What's wrong with it?
Well, okay, good question. Melissa, do you see anything wrong with that? Oh, we're only got 4 minutes because there's another thing I want to talk about. Melissa?
The girl married. Say it again.
He said, what's wrong with it? If a person, if a young girl is emancipated from her parents,
yep.
and she and the court allows her to be her own adult and make her own decisions,
mm-hmm.
and she decides to date a guy 32 years old, and you see them swapping tongues at Walmart, how do you feel about that? Now, Mr. Solution says, what's wrong with that? You?
No, it's better for her.
Okay, but I'm just asking Mr. Melissa. Melissa?
I don't know.
You driving again?
This is coming from a mother.
No.
Laverne?
No, I'm actually reading something.
Yeah.
I have no laws about.
Brian, that stems from being under the illusion of so-called age gap dating.
Okay, because I have to speed this up. Okay, now here's the meat. Yes, Laverne.
I was saying, I think I have been so conditioned that I would be against it, but it's because of my conditioning.
Right. Good point, okay. Laverne.
Now, here's the hard one, Laverne. I'm going right back to you, Laverne. Here's the hard one. Same situation. They've been emancipated. Same situation. What was the other one I was talking about? Emancipated was another one that I just said. Anyway, let's go with emancipation. Now you're on Pornhub. You're on a porn site, an X-rated site. The girl has been
age of consent, Brian. I think that's what you were searching for.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Solution. Now, she got emancipated, or the other age of consent is 16, and she's actually 16 and a half, 17. Okay? Age of consent. Now, she's at the age of consent, and she goes on an X-rated site like Pornhub. Is she breaking any laws?
No.
If she's emancipated, no.
No.
He used age of consent at that juncture.
Yes, lose age of. Okay, let's change it to age of consent at that point. She's consenting to go on there on her own will. She's signing all this stuff. Is it wrong?
Is she at or below the age of consent?
She's 16 and a half, and age of consent is 16. So she's over the age of consent. Isn't that a mind buster? Because if I saw that, I would report it, get upset. I would say, fuck you, let's burn it down. That's our natural instinct to protect children because she's still considered a minor. So isn't that something that would blow your mind? That's all I'm trying to say.
But the word minor is a culturally relative expression. Just like what Laverne just said a moment ago, she has been conditioned against age gap dating is what that is defined as. But that's just conditioning. It doesn't mean it holds true in actuality.
The actuality part is it's a lot of fun, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
But said from a true 420 advocate.
Oh, yeah. As I smoke, yes.
Happy 420
well,
day.
You know, a woman that smokes lives dangerously. She is open for
yes,
a lot of
baby.
Stuff.
Yes,
yeah,
and
a woman
love
who
it.
Smokes is open for a lot of stuff, a regular woman.
And
you
is
know
not.
What?
Loving it.
You know what? I hate to say this. There's only one time around in hell I got the body from hell. So I'm going to make the most of it with my mind.
And that will be the last word of it. I want to thank the lovely Laverne for coming into the studio. I know it takes a lot for her to dial in, because if she's dialing, I can imagine she's punching those numbers. Beep, 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 beep. I want to thank
Laverne showing up. Brian, are you going to work after this? What's your agenda?
Well, you guys wondering what I do after this? Here's what I usually do after this. I usually have breakfast. It's about 12:30 one time. Sometimes if it's a big heavy conversation, I will call a couple of my friends and we'll discuss and say hello, how you doing? And if we do that, sometimes we stay on the phone for an hour or two. But normally I have breakfast and then I shower, I get dressed, I do work on a website, I do create something, I am creating something, and I just take care of menial things. So I do work. If you want to know what I'm up to, all you have to do is go to MVPOnAMan.com, and you can see what I'm up to and what I'm about to do. And that's it. And by the time I'm done, it's basketball time. It's the playoff time to come on at 4 o'clock California time. And that lasts until about maybe 10 in the evening. I do get my exercise in. Because doctor's
okay,
orders.
Good.
I do run a 3K just to warm up for a little bit. I try to do a 3K a day, and then I try to do a mile before I go to sleep. I mean, before it gets too dark, and I try to get my steps in.
How do you bring money in?
Wait a minute, but okay, that's true. I want to hear that. But also, you do 3K. That's like a mile and a half, a mile and a quarter. What is that?
That's a mile and a half. Yes, it is. It's
a mile and a half. You do a mile and a half every day?
Yes.
Now, are you talking about running, physically
yes.
running?
Yes.
Okay, you better be careful with that because you're going to injure your joints. Be careful
That. My needs are already given out. But how I make money, people want to know how I make money.
I have an online porn business.
Yes, I do. It's called the Age of Consent. That's what my porn business is. The Age of Consent. Please visit.
Well, look here. Although I don't fully understand it, maybe I can be helped with that by someone who knows more. But it doesn't seem that sex will ever go out of vogue, and therefore, you have a flourishing industry. Continue.
Well, sex is a need, like water, like food. It's a need.
Well, yeah,
so,
it's listed
like
in
death.
Abraham Maslow's hierarchy.
Like death will never go out of business. Yeah, but death will never go out. You know, so if a young man came to me really quickly and said, what kind of business should I go into? Should I go into technology, be an IT guy? I go, no. Get into death. Get into the death business.
Get into the funeral business.
Yeah, get into the funeral business. Get into making coffins
or
whatever.
Maybe if Laverne has peered into this, she can help us ruminate on why sex is at the foundation of the pyramid on the hierarchy of needs. And I'm not kidding, by the way.
Sex should be sacred.
Okay.
It should be sacred, but we all, you know, we take stuff that's sacred and I don't want to...
Well, that horse has long ago left the barn.
Well, let me ask Laverne this, because she said that. Laverne, really quickly, I understand what you're saying. Should love be sacred or sex? Because sometimes you can have sex without love. Okay, or is it in you the same thing?
Sex
is sacred, too.
Sex is sacred. Okay. Love is not.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. Love is not sacred?
Love is not sacred.
Love is, to be honest with you, love is. Without anything behind that, love just is.
I'm usually behind it.
Wait, love kills or love is?
Love is sacred.
It is
sacred. Yes.
Oh, it is. Well, sex is too. Everything that exists is. So, what's the distinction?
But sex is sacred because sex creates life.
Yes.
Well, what about
I considered it a gem. It's just a workout for my penis.
Now, science argues that gay sex is not sex, which is...
I've heard him argue that
gay sex is not sex.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. If it involves the private parts and the private parts releases,
but see, Sarge's argument, if I recall, is that sex can only occur between the sexes, not intersex.
Well, again, it's what a person believes in.
Right, that's what God makes it sacred too.
Excuse me, I made a mistake. It's intra as opposed to inter. So the intersex would be between a male and a female. Intrasex would be your homosexual sex, the sex between a woman and a woman or a man and a man. That's
unless
the way.
And he has a persuasive argument as usual. Unless a woman puts her finger up your bum, which happened to me, is that a homosexual act? It did.
No.
I cannot read the book. I gotta write a book.
No, let me just say, that's an act of sodomy.
But that's where your
that
G spot is as a male. But that's your G spot as a male is way up there.
You know, when I said sex is sacred, Mr. Solution, because and like I said, only with sex you can reproduce with the opposite sex. And which is
right, but what I was trying to get at is a lot of people are not having sex for reproductive purposes. For example, and I've met people like this, people who are in their late 40s, mid-40s, they've already had their kids. And even people who get married again, the interest is not in having children at all, right?
Right.
But sex, so do you define it the same way in that particular circumstance?
Well, by it being sacred, I think you have to have, along with intention, to create. Now,
right,
yes,
but the intention is not to create. Sex is viable in some instances, even if there are no intentions among the consenting adults, say husband and wife, to create life. They already have children. They don't want any more children.
Right.
So
right.
Sex is still valid, wouldn't you say?
It is valid. It's still valid, yes. But when you do it, when it's valid.
Wait, I'm not following you.
You can have somebody have sex during a RAPE. That don't make that sacred.
No. See, you moved the goalpost now. What I'm saying is, I'm going to give you a pristine example very quickly because I know Brian is chopping at the bits. Look, if a man or a woman's spouse dies and they get remarried, they've already had children, say, on both sides, and they're not interested in having any more children, is their sexual coital coupling valid?
I would say yes.
Right. So that denies your ironclad, and these are my words, not yours, that denies your ironclad interpretation of sex being sacred because of its reproductive capabilities. Because they're not interested in reproducing.
I don't think so, because everything is from what everything should be a cause from intentions. If I intend,
yes, but I think
intention,
confusing energy.
Well, the intention is
energy.
Pleasure and closer connection vis-a-vis the vehicle of intimacy.
That's sacred, yes.
I didn't understand that.
The intention is getting closer vis-a-vis intimacy of the two parties. The two, and I'm using the term marriage. You know, Kevin Samuels, I think what made him great was he used marriage and the high-value man. Those were his two pillar platforms. And I think those are exceedingly valid.
But let's take Laverne on face value. She's saying, you're going into deep thing. She's saying sex and love
that's
are
not
sacred.
That is basic.
No. She's saying, and Laverne, I don't want to talk for you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but she's saying sex and love or should be sacred. Am I right, Laverne?
Well, she said, she changed. She did include love.
No, I don't think she changed at all.
Initially she said only sex was sacred, and
She also said love, because
she said love. But go ahead.
She said love. Am I right, Laverne? Because I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'd rather put something else.
I did say that, but I am not sure, and I can tell you the next time we meet up if love is considered sacred.
All I know is if me and Laverne's going camping, she's going to become pregnant. I cannot resist that lady. And I'm going to make sure I got a sleeping bag. I'm going to put a sleeping bag for two and have drinks. Sorry. Treat her like a lady in a breakfast.
Okay, for whatever reason, and I don't want to break you guys a little love snuggle.
Don't you break us up. Nothing could come between me and her.
Laverne is kind of conservative.
She is.
But you,
she's a lovely
Mr. Liberal,
I am.
You say
she
things
kicked my ass
so
out
far
of that
very
me in a minute.
Ambit.
I can see right now. Get the hell out of my sleeping bag. I'm going, help, bear. Too bad I'm rooting for the bear.
You say things so far out of her boundary, I don't know why she doesn't strangle you.
I don't know. I'm waiting for it. Laverne.
She gives you such leeway. And see,
she does.
Anyway, and I think Laverne is an upstanding woman.
I think you're a very upstanding woman, too.
But she tolerates you.
Yes, she does. She has a dark side. Leave her alone, Laverne.
Mr. Solution, the one thing that I really can't tolerate is useless conversation.
Uh-oh, that was pointed toward me. On that note...
Well, look here, Brian, I gotta bring this up. I remember one time you asked Laverne would she vote for you. And that the funniest response I've ever heard. And I think she said something to the effect, not the person on the blog talk.
Yeah, she will not vote for me. She will not unleash me to the public. But
that was funny as hell the way she said it. Oh my god.
I was not expecting it at all. I know I was. I was not. I want to thank the lovely Melissa. I want to thank the lovely Pat, the lovely Laverne, of course. And I want to thank you, Mr. Solution, for coming in the studio and make the show move forward. Today is Thursday.
Now, I'm the handsome.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
I'm the handsome, burly man.
Yes, you are. And I want to thank Laverne's sense of humor. I really do. It took her 8 years to get used to it, the stupid things I'm going to say, but I think it rolls off her shoulders now. But everybody on this show knows that I kid her, but I love her to death. Everybody knows that. And ultimate respect for her. Everybody knows that.
I think we all do, including you, Brian. Which is...
She's the woman that got away, but she gets away. Okay, I'm leaving. She's the woman.
Hey,
I don't know if I could argue that effectively, Brian, why I like you. I think you do love me, Mr.
Solution. You do love me. You know you.
I can't explain it though. That's true.
I can't explain that either. It takes counseling. But thank you for God bless you, Guy. God bless. I love you too, Mr. Solution. Hey, you guys, we got one of the best shows on Blog Talk, and when we're on, nobody else can compare to us. I'm just telling you the truth. Nobody compares to us. And I'm blessed with good friends like you guys. Yeah.
If anybody...
Hi, Brian,
but
well, look
here,
be careful,
area.
And I would take up cycling, even if it were the indoor type, instead of that running, because once you lose your locomotion, and you will, your hips, your knees... it's stupid to keep running. Now, you know me, I'm your friend because I'll kick your ass. I don't mind kicking your ass.
I'm your friend. I'm going to kick your ass. Friends like you, who need enemies? Yeah, I hear you.
Right, I have a huge foot, by the way, over 13. And see,
don't
Brian,
you know,
running
me,
that far every day is proving something that's going to be
something.
Detrimental. So
it is.
I would say give up the running, take up cycling or something that is less impactful on your joints.
Yeah,
what do you think?
It's something to think about, kiddo. It's something to think about, and I will take it in consideration, and thank you very much. But we got
to
go.
You
got
to do it soon. Otherwise, they're going to have to send a damn stretcher to, carry you to whatever destination you're headed.
They might. I got to.
Yeah,
all right. Well, look, God bless. Chat with
God
you guys later.
You.
When are you coming on again?
I wanted to do the 600-pound story. It's very fascinating.
Oh,
jeez. Melissa brought up a good. No, well, Melissa brought up a good subject about there are some people, and I know what she's talking about, that have this food fetish that they watch these people just gorge themselves and everything. It's nice to know who walks among us. You know what I mean? But I don't understand that when women who are way overweight, they're asking us to accept it, and because they're happy. There's no happy in heart disease. There's no happy in diabetes. There's no happy in this. And you got to stop it. There's an ad. It pisses me off. I don't know if you guys saw it where you live, but where I live, I think it's a Dove ad where they have these overweight women in a bra. I think it's Dove. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah,
And thank you, Melissa. And it says,
you're welcome.
And it's not about being attractive. I'm not even looking. I'm at the age. It's not about being attractive. It's about being healthy. And I said, this
right.
Is
and Brian,
not
that food
good.
You're really taking advantage of people. I don't think we should give that any viewing or any motivation, any encouragement. Because think about it for a minute. What the hell benefit is there with the person who is deliberately killing themselves? And that's what
I don't
doing.
Know. And accepting and asking.
Psychologically,
yes.
All of those people, they have this nasty personality.
Right, right, right. And they pose as
I can't watch that. I have seen that. Let me just say, I will not watch that for a minute because there's nothing to learn from that. It is abuse of one of the highest orders. Let me just say that.
Mr. Solution, I yell at them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say it again.
She yells at them.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute. You mean in person or figuratively?
No. Figuratively, I do it.
You're fearing it, sir, yelling at obese people. Hey, fatty.
Wait a minute, Brian. Let me tell you, I have watched it in the past. I'm sorry. Where they have to cut the wall out to haul somebody out that's 600 pounds. That's disgusting.
It's very trendy, Mr. Solution. It's very trendy to be a fat 500 pounder and make YouTube videos of you eating.
Yeah.
But these people can't even walk. A person that weighs 500 pounds, I can just tell you this from a structural – look, I look at everything from an engineering standpoint, right? That's the first thing I look at. When I walk into a building, I'm automatically looking at how it's constructed. That's just the way I am. Now, my point is this. The human skeletal system is a frame. That's a structure. And it is never designed to carry that amount of weight.
And sometimes they have food in their stomach fold, and they can eat out of it like it's a refrigerator.
Oh, jeez. Look,
this person I watch will get Chinese food, Arby's, and McDonald's. And that's a meal.
Hey, you know, Melissa, one time, me and my girlfriend couldn't decide. I got Taco Bell and a hamburger from McDonald's. I gotta admit,
I've never done that.
Mix the food. I have done that.
No, oh god.
And
no.
I'm so ashamed of myself. No. When I left the hospital, I was 232. Yeah. Okay. Happy 420, bitches.
Listen, anybody that's up in this region in New York State can show up in Niagara Falls, Ontario on Saturday. It's at the expo thing.
Wow. I can see this from here. I'm in the States. God bless you, Canada. Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada. All right, everybody. Hey, thank you for coming on the best show on Blog Talk. 420, motherfuckers. Talk to you later.
Have a good one,
bye.
Let's be on tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Same time tomorrow. We're going to talk about the 600-pound ladies. I'm sorry. Same time tomorrow, people. 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Chabella. 420, babies.
Bagutto.